We got no bells and whistles. We got no guests. We ain't got shit. This is the 100th episode, and it will go to 100 the way it began.
That's right.
With no form, not knowing what the fuck we're doing, sitting in front of a laptop with snow. The stupid karaoke snow effect.
Yeah, I listened to it today, actually, on the way over here.
It's brutal.
It's unlistenable. There was times where there was like 15 seconds, 20 seconds of dead air where we're just fucking sitting there, like, looking at things.
Yeah. That wasn't really supposed to be on iTunes. We should have never let it go on iTunes.
Yeah.
What it is, you know, it was just, we were just fucking around. We just, what started? Was it Anthony Cumia's show?
Well, that, I remember a while ago when Justin TV came out, we used to always be on the road in the green room, and I always tried to, like, set up, like, a video, like, in the green room thing. We did it a few times with Joey Diaz, and then Joey Diaz got pissed and twisted my finger. Remember that? He got mad because he didn't want the camera on anymore, and he grabbed my hand and started twisting my finger. It was crazy. Like, he got really upset.
Well, Joey has to be funny all the time in his eyes. And when Joey's backstage, if he's just sitting there like, what do you want to do? Well, I'm not even hungry.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want people to see that. You know, he doesn't want people to see the normal, average, everyday Joey. He just wants Joey when he's on.
Right.
You know?
So, he's yeah, so after that incident, I was like, all right, I'm not doing this anymore. And then we tried it again.
Joey's a lot more sensitive than you think he is, man.
Yeah.
You know, Joey said something to me. Remember when I came down when we were headed to the show in Portland and Joey got mad?
Yeah. That was ridiculous. Yeah, that came out of nowhere, too. It was just me and him sitting there waiting for you to come down. And
it was
then,
really weird. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line was I had to take a shit. And sometimes, who's that, me or you?
It's probably me.
You know, when you have to take a shit, sometimes you don't time it well. Sometimes, like, you're running out the door, I'm like, God damn it, I think I gotta go. Yeah. Let me just see if I can get this out real quick. And it's like, I'm like, God damn it. I do have to take a shit, but I haven't had enough lettuce today.
I hate that when you have to speed up a shit.
That's the worst.
That's not cool at all.
It's not healthy. The worst is when you're thinking about not taking a shit, and then you do, and you go, God, I can't believe I was just going to walk around for the next couple hours with that inside of me.
Yeah. Or the girlfriend shit, where you get a new girlfriend and you can't shit in front of her.
I shit in front of everybody. You got to deal with it.
You have to.
Yeah. I don't mind if they do it either. It's life.
Yeah. But it just kind of sucks. You just meet this girl. You're trying to be like all sexy and hot, and your bathroom's right next to your bedroom.
Tell her, listen, here's the deal. I'm going to go take a stinky shit. Hope you can deal with it. If you're not, you don't get no more of this good dick.
Damn.
That's what you got to tell her. Let her know, man. It's a commodity.
You didn't look through my camera, by the way, that I left
here. No, I did not.
God damn it. That's great.
No, I did not. And if I did, I wouldn't. You know me.
I did my first, well, not my first, but my one or first or second home movie, sex movie.
Oh, really?
And we were just like, let's see what it looks like.
Do you like how you look?
No, because it was a side profile, and I noticed that my gut just kind of sits on her ass when I'm fucking her. I've never noticed that before, so now I'm like looking at 24-hour fitness and shit like that. But
your gut rests on her ass like a fanny pack.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I left it here, though, and immediately when I saw it, I'm like, oh, my God. That video could easily have just gotten out, and that could have fucking... That's how it happens.
That is how it happens. Yeah, yeah. You fuck around and leave a phone behind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Tebow has this thing with Sam Tripoli that every time they leave their phone around or somebody gets their phone and it's unlocked...
They take pictures of their dicks.
Yeah, and or put, like, black dicks and stuff like that. Jason likes black dick. And last night, Jason did his mom, though, and was saying, I like black dick and stuff.
Did his mom? What do you mean?
She left. She was like, oh, look at these photos I took. And so he did his mom's Facebook and put, like, you know.
Wait a minute. His mom left her phone behind.
Yeah.
So he took her phone and got on Facebook and put pictures of black dicks?
Yeah. I don't know if he put black dicks, but he said something like, I really like black muff or something like that.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
His mom?
Yeah, his mom's pretty sweet, though. She's cool.
Pretty sweet.
She's a lesbian. She just hangs out with the boys type thing. His mom's
pretty sweet. You sound like Cartman.
She's pretty sweet.
His mom is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I had one friend that had a mama who's a lesbian growing up, but he never admitted it, man. Took forever before he came clean.
Oh, he knew about it?
Everybody knew. His mom was living with this woman with a crew cut with like big arms. She had like, she would wear Larry the Cable Guy clothes.
Yeah.
She would wear like sleeveless shirts, like sleeveless vests and shit.
Yeah.
And she had these big like floppy truck driver arms.
Right.
You know, and she was a dyke. I mean, there's no getting around it. She was what she was, you know. My friend did not want to come clean, though.
Why? I would be
Everybody
so
wants to be normal, man. Everybody wants to be normal. You remember Joey Diaz's stories about wanting to be a white kid?
Yeah. He's not white. That's right. Well, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
You hear that, bitches? White. That's called a slurp. People go, I hate when you make that slurping noise. Can't you turn your microphone off? Just fucking deal with it, man.
When I was listening to episode number one in the car, that was another thing, that the mic sucks so bad. There was parts where things were dropping and just blew your speakers out. Like, that's pretty annoying. You know, one thing I didn't know is a lot of people, you know, say, why do you use Stitcher? I had no idea. So I talked to the president recently, and we were talking about the whole incident and stuff like that.
The incident.
The RSS incident. We had a beer, and, you know, he said a lot of things that I had no idea that Stitcher did. And one thing was that Stitcher normalizes the whole audio. So when there's big, loud bursts and stuff like that,
Which is what we should be doing.
We should be doing. We actually used to do that, but it made the audio too quiet because it, for some reason, I don't know. You know, I'm not an audio engineer, but it didn't work right.
Yeah, we need compression.
I heard that compression was actually not the way to go, though. A lot of audio engineers that work at radio stations here in LA actually told me that that's not the way to go, to use software post. But who knows?
Post.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you have to edit it. You have to put it through post before you...
Well, I think it's just a plug-in in what the program I use, which is Logic, and it automatically just does that.
Right, but you have to run it through the program, meaning you can't do it live.
Right, right. Like
they're doing it live.
Yeah, they're doing it live. And I guess there's...
By saying there, I'm talking about the Adam Carolla show.
Yeah.
I have podcast envy. I went to his setup. It's so dope. He's got... I mean, there's something cool about that you and I... I'm just chilling in my office.
Right.
We always do it this way. It's either in your office or in my office.
Right.
That's where we do it. There's something cool about that, but his setup's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, but except
he's doing a radio show.
You actually got one of the same mics that he uses, that I guess Mark Maron and him both use. And we tried it out, and it didn't sound as good.
Well, ours is a lot louder, but I think a part of that is this show is a little more unstructured, so there's people leaning back and yelling and stuff like that. There's not really any of that going on in Maron's show.
Yeah.
And there's not really any of that going on the Carolla show.
Yeah.
You know, I think for our purposes, these are better.
Do you listen to any podcasts besides, you know, or do you just kind of here and there?
I listen to Disinfo. I listen to Psychedelic Salon. Psychedelic Salon's kind of cool because it's a podcast, but really it's a bunch of old audio recordings, like old Terrence McKenna recordings or, you know, stuff like that. So I listen to that stuff, but honestly, I try to listen to the news, or I listen to talk radio for two reasons. One, you know, to see if there's anybody that I agree with, and two, to see if there's anybody that's just completely out to lunch. Like, I listen to Patriot on Sirius Satellite Radio. The reason why I listen to it is just it's all fucking bananas. It's all these crazy assholes that want to bury gold, and they're ready for the whole thing to come tumbling down. They got their guns ready. And this Obama, what he's trying to do with this Eric Gundry. You know, it's those guys.
You don't fall for that shit. That doesn't get in the back of your head like, oh my God, you're right. We need to collect gold. And
no.
You don't fall for it.
Come on, man. I think if the shit hits the fan, gold's not what we're going to need. We're going to need bullets and gasoline. Guns. That's what I think. Bullets, gasoline, guns, places to stay. Somewhere you go where there's no radiation. When the shit hits the fan, there's so many... Human beings have devised so many ways to fuck each other up that if something ever really chaotic happened at this point in time where we really went into, like, nuclear warfare, man, the gold ain't gonna help you, dog.
Every time I'm away from L.A., this is the reason, one of the things that maybe we should leave L.A. someday, because every time I'm away from L.A., like, I was out of town this weekend, and when I was away, I was like... Now's a good time. If shit was to happen, this would be a good time because I'm kind of out of the crowd. I could escape easier, you know, because there's not a whole bunch of traffic in Solvang. And, like, I think I have, like, a whole suitcase of shit. I have my computers and stuff.
I think at a certain point in time, it becomes completely unnecessary to be in such a large group of people. The only benefit of it is that because there's so many people, you're going to get, and especially because it's such a, like, a desired area, you get a lot of fascinating people here.
Yeah. And, like, if you move to Denver, like, what are you going to do with the podcast? Fly Freddie Lockhart out on a plane?
I don't know. I think what I could do is there's three comedy clubs in Denver. There's two Comedy Works, and there's one improv. I could talk to the people that are coming in for that. I can interview them.
Make it like a radio show, kind of.
Yeah, there's local comics. There's a strong local comic scene in Denver. So I could always, like, have those guys come on. And we could do Skype, too. I did Ariel Helwani, his MMA show. I did it yesterday. And I did it through Skype. It's pretty badass, man.
How did it sound?
It sounds... He sounds great. I used that stupid blue snowball microphone. The only thing that's kind of fucked, though, is that you can't hear your own voice.
Right. I mean, there's ways to set it up that you could, definitely.
Yeah,
you could
sure.
use these mics, you know, as an example.
Yeah, and if I had it set up like this, if I had it set up like this in Colorado and you had it set up like this in California and we just Skyped it together, we could do a podcast. It'd be pretty easy. But then once I show you how sweet Colorado is, you're going to want to move, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's not as many of your type of girls out there.
Yeah. I know.
You'd have to change your standards.
Yeah. I think it... Yeah, what would I don't know that hippie is just is what's mostly there, right? Like people that Boulder. Are working out and hippie.
Yes, Boulder's a lot of that. Boulder's hippie and Boulder's people that are in really good shape.
Right,
well, but no one wears makeup. No one looks like a whore.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer. I'm gonna have to get the girl pregnant or something.
There's not a lot of girls like the ones that you're around all the time in California. There's not a lot. That's very rare for the whole world.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I go ups and downs. You know, my dating is not, it's like a stock market graph. You know, it's like I don't really look for what I understand,
but what I'm saying is living in Los Angeles is giving you access to these girls.
I know, why leave that? That's worth it. That's worth death. At least you die with a heart on.
I mean, you can find hot chicks in Colorado. They're just not going to. Be quite so needy.
Yeah, it's fucked up. You know, ever since I got in this relationship, I already see my stand-up going away, just like how it always does. It's like, hey, do you want to have sex and hang out with this hot girl, or do you want to do stand-up and hang out with four guys that you barely know?
You got a tricky situation, because if you really want to do stand-up, you can't just do it half-assed. During my shows or half-assed.
Right, so I'm making myself go tonight, but I'm, you know, I haven't even been writing, because when I'm, you know, I'm not writing as much either.
Yeah, you're weak.
Weak.
You just give in. But it's easy to do, man. I did that when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I used to have a whole joke about it, about how when I was in high school, I played baseball, I did all these sports until I started getting laid. And then I was like, whatever with all that other stuff. My parents were like, what about baseball? I'm like, yeah, I found this new thing. I think I like it more.
Right.
You know, like once you start having sex, like why am I playing baseball?
Yeah.
What that shit's boring.
Yeah. But I watch. Have you? You don't have your first set on tape, do you?
No. Do you?
Yeah, I watched it the other day. It's awful. It's horrible. What sucks is just everything sucks.
Do you like the new ones though?
I like the new ones definitely. Yeah. It's definitely like before you could see the nervousness on stage, and I mean this was 2003 or whatever, but it was gross. I can't even fucking imagine.
It's hard to watch my sets from like last night. Even if I killed, it's still weird. You know. It's hard, even if you're killing. But, man, if you're not killing, ooh, it's painful. It's so painful.
Yeah. Stand-up.
You got to figure out, bro, if you really want to do it. Because if you really want to do it, there's only one way to do it. You got to go gangbusters. You got to, like, put together an act. You got a rare opportunity, man. You're on the road with me all the time, so you get to do these sets in front of these giant crowds.
I guess you have how I look at stand-up is more as I enjoy doing it kind of like, I like doing it playing baseball. You know, I like bowling. But I guess I'm not looking as it in a career-wise. Career.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever want to do it as a career-wise. I think if anything, it's just a workout for this podcast even.
To make you more comfortable.
Yeah, just more comfortable and, you know, thinking of funny ideas and just being creative, you know, because if I'm not doing this, then I'm painting. If I have to be doing something, and now right now it's just...
You just have so much in you need to get out.
Yeah.
Right?
Shrooms really is nice to reset that, though. You need to shroom again soon, man. I shroomed the other day, and it wasn't the best one, but it definitely just opens up how you look at everything.
It's a reset.
Yeah, definitely a resetting.
I do that every time I get in the tank.
Yeah.
The tank's a big reset. You need to try that. But yeah, any opportunity that you have to just step outside of the whole thing and just relax. And let's take a look at this. Let's assess this, you know, from an even position. So many times in life, man, you're just on momentum.
Right.
You know, every one step from the next is like there's something pushing behind you and you just keep moving.
Have you ever forgot to take off a condom after sex? Like not
ew.
No, like sometimes, you know, like I'll have sex and like then, you know, when I come and then I'll take the condom, throw away, put a new condom on so I can continue and then not come again. But I forget I have that condom on.
You're getting way too personal.
I know. I was trying to clean it up a little, but I was shrooming and then I went to go piss and I'm sitting there going, and I'm like,
and you're
wait.
Peeing into the condom?
Yeah. I didn't know the condom was on and I didn't hear the water. And I'm like, what the fuck?
You might be the laziest motherfucker I have ever met in my life. But you're so lazy. You can't even take your condom off to pee.
But you know what's crazy?
I can't be bothered.
You never know.
It's all the way down there.
No, I didn't know it was on there, but it's crazy how much pee comes out so fast because it was like a full balloon when I looked down. And the first thing you do.
How the fuck does it stay on your dick?
I don't know. It stayed on pretty. I guess pussy just dried or something. I don't know. But what's crazy, your first thing to do is like, holy shit. And so I just like kind of like pulled it off in the weight of the pee dropped into the toilet and just started spraying out back out of the toilet, and it would piss everywhere.
Oh,
it was
God. Fucking. That doesn't even make sense. How does that condom stay on you while you're pissing?
It did. It didn't. It didn't fall off.
What kind of lube did you use?
I didn't. I did use. I think I might have had some flesh lube around. No, I didn't. No, I was at the. No, I didn't.
So it's just whatever lube was on the condom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's fucked
up. Tight condom. It was a tight condom.
That's ridiculous. Did you go over your balls? Huh? that's an old joke. A friend of mine, Amir Galan. I forget what his fake name was. He used to have a fake name that he used to use on stage. I forget what his name was. But anyway, he had this joke about the first time I put on a condom, it was really tight. I got back from the bathroom. The girl was laughing at me. I was like, this is fucking painful. Why are you laughing? She goes, it doesn't have to go over your balls. Fucking idiot. He had a bunch of great jokes. Here's another one. Yeah, my friend got his girlfriend pregnant. They were having anal sex. You know, the baby looks like shit. That's just so stupid, but...
fuck.
Anyway, you're so lazy you don't take off your
clothes. No, I just forgot. I was shrooming, having sex.
Do you ever feel like an incredibly lazy person, though? Do you ever, like, look at some of the shit that you say?
Like, lazy in general in life?
Yeah, just like...
I always think I have some kind of, like, if I... I got my thyroid checked, but and it was fine. But really? I always think that I always have had some kind of, like... You know, I'm always feel like I need speed. Like, I need something. Like, when I drink so much coffee, it doesn't feel like it does anything.
Are you... do you think you have ADD or something like that?
No, I wouldn't
say
ADD.
Or do you one of those fucking buckle-up Republican guys? There is no ADD. I was a kid, they were just nutty. They were just nutty kids. They're not diseased.
No.
Stop coddling them.
No, I probably think it's because I just don't work out. I don't do shit like that. That my body's just in fifth gear. You know, just slow.
Right. Your body, yeah, you need to kick your body into gear. But all this humping should be doing something for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shouldn't that be firing up your fucking testosterone banks? Yeah. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. What were we talking about?
We were talking about you being lazy as fuck.
Yeah, I think it's either exercise or it's probably some kind of deficiency of some kind probably that I need. Like...
Potassium. Well, I know that I know friends that are on that Adderall shit, and they just said, "Oh, I needed it to concentrate." And yeah, okay, I guess, but it's speed. Yeah. You know, I can't think you're gonna last very long on speed.
Yeah,
you know, I don't like what it feels like. I'll have a cup of coffee during the podcast, and one cup of coffee is fine. But if I have two cups of coffee during the podcast, after the podcast is over, I feel all amped up. I feel like, ugh.
See, I don't feel
shitty.
That.
Really?
I don't feel that at all.
There's a lot of energy in your system?
No, it doesn't work. But what I do notice is that I clench when instead of feeling that energy, I'll find myself like clenching my teeth really hard. I don't know.
Out of nowhere?
I do it all the time. I noticed on the way home yesterday, because I had two cups of coffee here yesterday, and I noticed I was driving, and I'm like, why am I clenching my teeth? Like, I don't know what it is. Like, it's all going to my jaw.
Dude, you've got to be one of the weirdest motherfuckers I've ever met.
I do it all the time. If you look back at old Ustreams, you'll see like this line on my... I do this and I bite my cheek.
And are you thinking about anything when you're doing it, or
no,
are you just doing it?
I'm just like clenching.
Like you have this energy that you got to get out.
Yeah, in my mouth.
Squeeze off around.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe you have some like unaddressed energy issues.
I do.
You know? Maybe if you like started doing something like throwing the discus or something like really physical,
right.
Like maybe you would like feel much better.
I've been trying this Xbox dance game on Kinect. It works pretty good. I love that shit.
When are they going to have some sort of a martial arts game where like a robot does certain moves and you can kick it? You know, like it like moves forward and you can leg kick it. It moves forward and you can punch it. It doesn't have to do much.
I think
has to be a target.
I think this Kinect thing, I don't know if you know what Kinect is. It's like that webcam thing that you put on top of your TV and it detects your body. It works. I don't know. Like I haven't played that much, but the games I've played, fucking badass. It's like where you just hold up your hand. Like you can do Netflix where you're streaming through movies going like this with your hand moving it left to right.
Right.
And you're streaming through movies. And then if you want to pick one, you pull your hand out and grab it. And it's kind of like Minority Report or whatever. But they have games too where you don't have any controllers anymore.
So how accurate is it? How effective is it?
You know, from what I understand, it's not the best. But I have never noticed it not being accurate. I think it's pretty accurate. So I've heard the
so
opposite.
As long as you're not playing like a first person shooter or something where you'd have to
I think
really
it's good
precise.
Enough for that. I think it's
really?
Good enough for that. Wow. I think it's really based on lighting and clothing, and because like the girl I was with was wearing a dress and it couldn't detect her separate legs, so it was kind of fucking up. So she took off her dress and then it worked perfect.
It's a trick. It wanted yeah. you to be a whore.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
That's it's right. Like, well, that's what I like, told her. It's because you have a dress on.
Too much clothes on. God, what are you doing over here? That's crazy. So now, what if you're using it as a first-person shooter, how do you pull triggers?
See, I don't know. I haven't played a first-person shooter, but what I would imagine, I don't know. That'd be weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do it. We can't talk. We can't talk about that one thing, but there is a crazy first-person shooter that
we can't talk about. Something.
No.
Why not?
Because I don't think it's known.
Somebody tell us this.
No. The video that I showed you that Kevin Pereira might have showed us.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's all incognito. I didn't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah, because you got to think of a guy, if you're doing a first-person shooter, you got to deal with two things. One, how do you simulate movement? Like, how do you go forward? You right. know, you're running. How do you run forward, and how does the machine know you're running back? But because you're not moving forward, though.
I think it's something to do with your hands. Like, because with the dance game, it was like, you do like something like that. That means forward. You go like this, and you shake your hand to the right. That means you're shooting.
Well,
you're,
ideally, what you would want is like a giant dome, or a ball, rather, and you'd be inside that ball, like a hamster ball.
Right.
And that ball, you have like some sort of a 3D helmet on, like a complete... Yeah. You know, what is it? Virtual reality. Complete virtual reality helmet on. And then you would be walking around with this ball. You could walk in any direction. You know, it wouldn't feel totally real. Like, you'd kind of be realizing that you're on a ball and then you're stuck in this, you know, in this thing. But that would be, I mean, other than that, how the fuck else could you simulate movement? Unless you just did it inside, like, the virtual reality, then it wouldn't even be virtual anymore. You'd have to do it inside, like, put a program and then make a program the exact parameters of, say, an airplane hangar.
Right.
And then you have an empty airplane hangar, and they walk around inside that hangar.
Yeah.
Like, it's all wired, and you could do it that way. But then that kind of defeats the whole purpose of virtual reality, right?
Yeah.
The idea is that you're supposed to be able to do it wherever you are.
Yeah. Would you ever go to Burning Man?
No.
Why not?
Too many hippies.
Too many hippies.
I learned about hippies when I moved to Boulder. I like them in theory.
Yeah.
I like them in theory. I don't like a lot of people that are asking for money all the time. I find that shit to be very annoying. I don't like people playing shitty songs and wanting a dollar.
Right.
You know, for the most part, they're cool, but, you know, there's too much of that hippie movement that wants people to help them. You know, and this is how I feel about that. If I felt like everybody was on the ball and everybody was doing their best, and, you know, I'm a generous person. And I think one of the things about being generous is if you have the opportunity to do so, it feels really good to be generous, especially if it doesn't affect you. It's not like you're being generous and it's hurting you. You know, so I think it's important. But in passing, like, say you're passing love to the left, and there's a big circle of people, man. The real problem is there's a lot of fucking people that never keep passing the love. They take it and then they walk away. You know, there's some people that are always there for you. There's some people and they're doing their best and they're living their life and you're doing your best and you're living your life and you're helping each other. And you, hey man, can I borrow your truck? I got to move. Fuck yeah, man. Come on over. Dude, anytime. You got my shit. You know, we're friends. You help me. I help you. We're all together. But we all know the few people that... They don't contribute. They always need something and they don't contribute. And my experience, that's my experience with hippies. That's my experience with a lot of people that, you know, are like really into like socialist ideals. A lot of it is because they're fucking lazy, man. They're fucking lazy and they don't work that hard and they don't do their part. And they somehow or another feel like the whole system's unfair, man. Which, fuck yeah, of course it is. Of course it's unfair. Of course it's corrupt. Of course it's fucked up. But that's not why you're a loser. There's a lot of people that aren't losers. Most people are losers because they're lazy as shit. And they want to blame other people for that. And they want to blame society. And they want to blame... Look, society is completely fucked. But guess what? It's not like there's one person that makes it fucked. The whole thing is it's fucked because it's on a foundation of bullshit. It doesn't make any sense. But knowing that, you see what it is. make your path. Make your path. Figure out something that you can do to feed yourself, okay? Figure out something you can do to put a roof over your head. Just figure it out, man. Fucking figure it out. It doesn't mean you have to be a fucking asshole to be successful. It doesn't mean you have to be a part of the system, man. No, just stop asking people for money. Stop being a fucking mooch. Get your shit together, okay? Mm-hmm. That's my problem with hippies. My problem with hippies is part of the whole idea of being a hippie is being like really nice and being really relaxed. And sometimes life does not call for that. Sometimes life calls for you got to get off your fucking ass and make something happen, man.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, there's a lot. I had a friend who was, his girlfriend was having a baby. This is many, many years ago. And I had a fucking scream at this guy. This guy was unemployed, and he couldn't get his shit together. He couldn't make something happen. He was trying to be a comedian for a while. That didn't work out. And then he was trying to do some other stuff. He was trying to do some radio and a bunch of different things. And we had this conversation, and I'm like, man, you got to realize you're going to become that fucking guy. You're going to become that unbelievably pathetic guy who can't feed his kids. Right. You got to fucking do something, man. You got to make something happen. And, you know, it's not, hey, you know, we really need some food. Do you think you could help us? That's the hippie approach, to go to people. And you got to make your own fucking way. You got to make your own way. And that was my problem with Boulder. And that would ultimately, I'm sure, be my problem with Portland. And it's a bit of my problem with San Francisco. And it's not that I'm not a kind person. I'm a very kind person. But I recognize the difference between someone who's in need and someone who's fucking lazy. And there's a lot of people that are just weak. They're weak as shit, man. And they have no philosophy to live their life by. They have no discipline that they've developed over years of trying to accomplish things to the point where they have this sense of personal sovereignty. They can take care of themselves. And occasionally, everybody needs help. But if somebody will help you if they know that you're the type of person that will help them, and if you know that you're the type of person that does their best. What drives me nuts is when someone wants help. I'm like, motherfucker, you're not even helping yourself. Like, look what you're doing for yourself. And you want someone else to step in and manage your fucking situation? That's ridiculous, man. That is the number one problem with the whole idea of everyone together, man. Yeah, the real problem is that everyone doesn't do their fucking part, man. That's the real problem. There's a lot of lazy bitches in this world.
Yeah, well, the reason why I was asking about Burning Man is I often thought the same thing, like, fuck hippies, you know, because I've been there, done that. I hate it. You know, I hated the people, too, the lazy hippie. There's good hippies and
there's
bad
great hippies. There's legit hippies.
Right, but I hung out with bad hippies. It got bad, you know.
It's like everything else. It's like MMA fans. Right. You know, I have a lot of friends that are MMA fans. I have friends that have graduated from Harvard, friends that are fucking – I know guys who are scientists. The guy who created Beavis and Butthead, Mike Judge, huge MMA fan. I mean, there's a lot of intelligent MMA fans.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of idiots.
Yeah. But I was looking at these videos lately because the girl goes every year or whatever. And so there is some fucking cool shit going on at Burning Man.
I'm sure.
Like, and I guess you can rent these big RVs, you know, and that's the way to do it, is to have your RV, don't like live in a tent or whatever.
Yeah.
They have showers and stuff. But there's this thing called, I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's they're called, let's see, what are they called? It's a zoetrope. Have you ever heard of a zoetrope?
Zoetrope.
Zoetrope. Zoetrope.
No.
Zoetrope. What it is it's like a carousel type thing, like a merry-go-round, and each kind of, you know, couple feet, there's an like a drawing, or there's some kind of sculpture, like it's like a monkey hanging from a vine, and then the next one, like, you know, 3 feet over, is the same monkey, but it's kind of changing a little, you know, so when it turns. And you have a flashing light that just flashes at a certain rate.
Oh, wow.
It looks like the monkeys are moving. So it's in the middle of this desert, and there's like, they have these statues of like people diving down into the ground that just melt into the ground. They have like these monkey that are spinning. Check this out right here. Here's a monkey one. I don't know if you can see this. Here's a monkey one.
Oh, that is badass.
And it's fucking trippy. So anyways,
so basically what they've done is animation.
Animation, yeah. And
just like the old claymation models they used to use for like King Kong and shit.
Yeah, or like an old flip book where you draw on a flip book and you flip it.
That's
through.
Badass, man. I'm down with the artistic end of it. You know, I'm down with the whole idea of all these artists getting together and doing cool shit. I just think there'd be a lot of stinky people.
I just wonder why I don't, or maybe they have. Why doesn't a collection of people like yourself do a comedy show while they're there? Because that is huge.
No, I'd rather not perform there. If I was going to go there, I just want to hang out, have fun.
Well, I mean, you can hang out. Imagine performing once like a Woodstock of comedy, psychedelic comedy.
There would be so much mushrooms and so much everything else.
Too much
around.
Fun.
I would be too fucked up. I wouldn't want to be talking on stage through a microphone. That's the last thing you want to do when you're on shrooms.
Well, I mean, yeah, you just don't do shrooms that hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah, I think if you're there, you just want to experience it. That's what I would want to do. Yeah, I perform enough, man. I perform plenty. You know, I think Freddie Soto used to say this back in the day. You know, people used to offer Freddie gigs at bars and stuff like that. He's like, no, thank you, I appreciate it, but I only do comedy clubs, man. That's it. And that was he just is like, it's not worth it, man. You go to these bars and everyone's talking and you can't do your act right. You rush it because you're trying to get their attention. And he was totally right. You know, he's totally right. And that's kind of how I am right now. I only do shows. I'll do, you know, here's my show. I'm at this theater. Come see me. I'm at this comedy club. Come. And then there's no problems. There's no hassles. It is what it is. But if you're just doing a fucking, like, you're in a tent with some speakers and you're on this stage and all these people they're all fucked out of their minds. You know, why should they pay attention to you? They shouldn't. You would feel illegitimate standing there asking them to. If you knew that everyone in the crowd was on mushrooms, you would have nothing to say. You're like, unless I'm on mushrooms too, what am I going to tell you guys? I'm not going to tell you shit, man. Right. You're communicating with the alien overlords right now. You know, these beings that have come on asteroids and their spores have infested this earth. You're communicating with them through eating them. What I'm going to tell you some stupid dick jokes.
Yeah, but you're pretty known for being a psychedelic speaker. I mean, you always do the marijuana shows here in town and stuff like that for the same reason, too, the same kind of people.
Yeah, but I think part of being into psychedelics and understanding psychedelics and have had psychedelic experiences, it sort of negates any idea of you wanting that sort of attention,
right?
Like doing a show.
Yeah.
Like when you're doing a show, the beautiful thing about a show is that people enjoy it and they have a good fucking time. They come see a comedy show, but that's not what you want to do when you're jazzed out of your head.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on psychedelics, you don't want to go see a comedy show. You know,
I don't
want to see anything structured. I certainly don't want someone on stage like forcing their, like, there's a lot of things you say on stage in a comedy show. That's just to get a laugh.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's there for. It's there to spice up the show, to have more fun. And those things will stand out like fucking wet shits in your underwear. They're just like, oh, what's this? If you're on mushrooms, every like jokey joke that you have will just be like, bleh.
Bring Doug Benson some black lights and some body paint. It might be a good time.
Doug Benson would just be hugging girls. Hi, you can have a hug too. Come have a hug. I've never met anybody who's high more consistently than Doug Benson.
Yeah.
Every now and then he'll send me a tweet. You're high right now, aren't you? Or a text message. You're high right now, aren't you? I'm like, I know you are, motherfucker.
It's so funny because I never knew that was real. Like when I first met,
really?
When I first met Doug, I thought the whole marijuana thing was kind of like an act, kind of like an Andrew Dice Clay, kind of like a, you know, like he was doing. I mean, he might have smoked weed, but I didn't think he was the crazy stoner. And just after hanging out with him that first night, oh fuck yeah! Immediately, he's like every 5 minutes, hey, let's go back to your hotel room and smoke some another joint.
Yeah, those guys like to go deep, man. There's some dudes who go real deep. Those guys involved in the medical marijuana, like those like normal, and those guys go so deep. We were not normal, but the cannabis cup, that was the deepest that I've ever been. There was on Melrose in Hollywood. I was one of the judges. And it was at a head shop, and they closed the head shop down. They papered up the window so no one could see inside. They put a doorman in the back, locked the front, and then they turned the whole thing into this cannabis cup party. Really fucking bold move, man, because they did this shit in the middle of Hollywood, and the place was just filled with weed. I mean, it was unbelievable, and no one stopped. They just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper. Until I left there, I went to get something to eat. I was like, there's no way I can drive home right now. I just got to hang out for a few hours. I had to hang out. I mean, most of the time when you're high, driving is not an issue because driving is not any more complicated than walking. You know, I mean, you're as long as you're not smoking indica, as long as you're not smoking some dopey weed, mm-hmm. You know, if you're driving and you're high, you know, just be extra careful. Watch what you're doing. It doesn't affect your hand-eye coordination. I mean, I do jujitsu on weed. I kickbox on weed. It's not a problem, but I was so high then, I was like, no fucking way, man. There's no way I'm going to drive this thing and risk not being in control of my senses. I'm going to have a cup of coffee and have some food and just fucking sit back and read my cell phone for a little bit.
Yeah.
Go over my notes.
Yeah.
You know, sit down for a bit before I drive home. It was too stupid. Because, like, you get to a certain point when people are, like, everybody's handing you cookies. Here's a vaporizer bag. Hit this. Hey, this is a new blunt paper that I developed. Hit that. And everyone's passing joints left to right. It's like a never-ending, like a cyclone of joints getting passed around. It was fucking ridiculous. But you get to this point where you're not even high anymore. It's not like you're high anymore. It's like you're not there. It's like you're in a room. And, you know, the room has one window, and it's a circular window. And the room is, like, 4x4 wide. You can't even move. There's not even a toilet in it. It's just you. You in that room in that circular window. And that circular window is now how you view the rest of the world. You're looking out that window going, what the fuck is going on out there? Because this is crazy. I don't even know what's happening out there. That's what it's like. It's like you're detached from the world. You're so high, you're detached, you know? But those things, if anybody ever wanted, like, some sort of argument against the cause,
right?
go to one of those cannabis cups, man. The good thing is, man, everybody is friendly as fuck. I've been to, 100 medical marijuana shows or you know, parties or parties at the Playboy Mansion. I've never seen so much as an argument. Never seen a raised voice.
Yeah.
Never seen a push. Never seen anybody get crazy, not even girls, you know? I mean, every time you go out, some girl will be talking shit to some other girl everywhere, in Vegas, in L.A., anywhere. So if you stay around the night long enough and pay attention, you're going to hear some girl yell at some girl, right?
Yeah, totally, definitely.
But not in those weed shows. Those weed shows, everybody's just so nice.
Yeah.
It's just people, if people really realize what it could do for you. You know, so many people, like, I have a friend who's, like, super organized and, like, he's, like, really ambitious and he produces television shows. He's, like, a real go-getter. Very nice guy. But he's so anal and he's just fucking wound up about shit. He only wears black. He won't wear anything other than black.
Oh, really?
His whole, like, you open up his wardrobe, it's black shirts.
Isn't that shit
black.
Weird when somebody does that? Or they only wear the white T-shirt, like John Caparello. Is that his name?
Does he do that?
He only wears a white T-shirt. You know, like every day.
That's like his outfit.
Yeah.
His uniform when he goes to work.
Yeah.
Does he wear it like when he goes out on dates? Only that white T-shirt?
That I don't know. But there's definitely
people. Why don't you ask him out on dates? See what's up?
Enough vagina for me.
Well, yeah.
But like there is people like that like only wear certain things.
Yeah.
Like,
well, this dude isn't just in badly in need of a joint. Yeah. I keep telling him, I go, dude, just trust me, man. Just trust me. Just try a little weed. It'll help you relax. Mike, you're a good guy. You got a lot of good things going on. You just need a little fresh perspective, man.
And it's totally true. Look at you had a live proofing the other day on that podcast 98. You know, it was like you just need to smoke weed. Immediately after smoking weed, everything was great. You know, it was
calm 98, aka the disaster.
The disaster.
And Brian Whitaker apparently is very upset with the depictions of him from that podcast. Yeah, he's been tweeting mean things to you.
Yeah, he started attacking me on Twitter just like today. It's like, dude, all right. The thing I'm saying is I'm trying to make sure that people that are at home can listen to this podcast and understand what's going on instead of having a million people talking at once. There's no attack on you.
I understand what you're saying. So for the people that don't know about that podcast, and it's not worth listening to. It wasn't a good one. But there was just – he just had an issue where he didn't know how to be on a podcast. He didn't know that you can't talk while other people are talking.
Right.
And it wasn't – you know, he didn't have a chance to prepare. He just got thrown into it. You know, he didn't even know he was going to be doing it. We've talked about him too much.
Yeah, we have talked about him.
He's a good dude. He's just – he's out there doing his thing, and it's hard out there for a pimp.
Yeah. But at least it's easier when you work at the improv. You know, you get stage time.
Is that your dig? Is that your last dig at him? Because he had a dig at you. You get a lot of people that hate on you, man.
Of course. I've always had that. Ever since I started talking to you, I've been getting haters.
Ever since you started talking to me. Yeah. Well, man, people don't respect the red band.
Yeah.
Because people, well, whenever you do something, I mean, even you do comedy, people look at it and, God, it looks so easy. I could do that, too. Now, you ain't even funny. I could fucking do that. But then, you know, they look at you and like, what, does he know how to edit some videos or something? Fucking, I can do that, too.
Right.
You know, they look at someone who's in a nice spot and they think, what the fuck? Why isn't that me?
Yeah.
You know? It's hard to not be jealous, man. There's some ingrained shit. I see with my kids. It's really interesting. The 3-year-old and the 1-year-old. Sometimes the 3-year-old would get upset at the 1-year-old. If the 1-year-old getting too much attention, she'll take things from her and stuff. And it's like, it's just nature. Nature wants you. You want to collect all that love. You know, that's why people develop great personalities. They develop great personalities because they realize somewhere along the line, rewards is that, you know, when you have a great personality, the reward is people are always nice to you. You get all this nice energy. People want to be around you. That's the reason why great personalities get invented, because right. people become whores for other people's love. You know, I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, it's a beautiful thing in both ways, but really the root of it all is that people really want positive attention. So when you see like little jealousy in like little kids, and then you see jealousy in like grown adults, you know, you see like really petty shit and haters. And I love to go on like those gossip blogs, you know, and just to read. I don't even know who these people are, you know, but someone will, you know, it'll be someone from The Bachelor or someone from something. I just like to read the comments. Just I don't even know what the fuck the story's about. I half the time I can't pay his baby and you have mom and they're in court, whatever. What's going on with the comments? Yeah. And I go down the comments and it's just hate.
Yeah, it is hate.
It's evilness.
And it's ridiculous because when people, the biggest thing is like, if it wasn't for Rogan, this and that. I'm like, yeah, if it wasn't for Rogan, he saw my work. He liked what I did. He hired
You're
me.
Talking about me like I'm not even here.
I know. Here. But what is like a company like NBC, like Jay Leno should, you know, people are mad at Jay. Like, if it wasn't for NBC, you would be nobody. You know, that's it's me getting Joe seeing my work and then hiring me. Yeah, I got a job.
It's really simple. He's an artist.
Hello.
He's an artist and he was creating things that I thought were very worthwhile. And so I hired him. It's really simple.
It's pretty easy.
And, you know, and people that, you know, there's a weird dynamic. People like, you know, well, how are you guys friends? You guys are so different. Like, you don't have to be the same as your fucking friends, man. That's silly.
Right.
You know, if everyone was the same, then you'd all be running around saying the same shit and cock-blocking each other.
Listen to Paula Abdul, Opposites Attract.
Is that what you said?
I think.
Opposites Attract.
I heard Forever Your Girl the other day.
I miss the music on the podcast, Joe.
Yeah, I do too, man, but we can't do that shit anymore. The serious deal is signed, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it signed?
Yeah, it's all done. I mean, I haven't written my name on it, but they did.
Just tell. Do you ever?
But I'm gonna. So we're gonna have it on Sirius. It'll be 12 episodes. We have to get ready. We have to pull music if we have music on. We have to check them.
Oh, really? We're doing like back episodes.
We're gonna send them 12, and then we're gonna go live.
Favorite episodes that we've ever done? Actually, not 12. But what's your five top five that you've ever
top
done?
Five? Well, my number one favorite, just for sheer far out factor, is always Duncan.
Yeah.
Duncan's my favorite because Duncan's just so fucking weird. And like when he starts chanting Buddhist mantras and talking to you about the Bhagavad Gita, and you know, and he just gets me going, man. Duncan and I, and he doesn't have these conversations he says with anybody else either. He's like he and I we have just this weird chemistry when we get together. It's all crazy talk. The other day I called him up yesterday because I said, hey, we're doing the 100th podcast today. You know, maybe you want to like walk in like halfway in and sit down with us. I was thinking like maybe that'd be cool to have like guests come over while we're doing it.
Right.
And he goes, oh, I would love to, because he's in the middle of this show that he's putting together.
Yeah.
And he goes, I did mushrooms last night, man. I was surrounded by elves. I have so much to talk to you about.
Yeah, I was scared to fucking eat mushrooms.
Surrounded. He said, I was surrounded by elves. He said, I did more mushrooms than I've ever done. I was surrounded by elves. So Duncan's going to be in the podcast next week.
Sweet.
And he's going to tell us this whole thing. And you recently went shrooming up in Northern California?
Solvang. It's yeah. like north of Santa Barbara.
Wouldn't the world be a better place if people just did that? If they had retreats, you know, instead of going, I mean, even have these wine tasting retreats. How about right next to the wine tasting retreats, a mushroom retreat?
Yeah.
They go there. Everybody's going to be nice to you. It's all soothing sounds. And, you know, you're in a comfortable room and there's the shaman are all experienced. Everybody who works there is professional. You know, you pay a couple $100 a day or whatever the hell you do. And you just blast off.
It's pretty amazing how much better wine tastes when it's at the vineyard. I don't know why, because it's all the same. It's bottled.
The ones who offer the tours, are they like really known labels?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. These are like the big dogs. Like these are for wine.
Do you remember the names?
I don't remember any of them, man. I don't buy. I usually buy wine by the bottle. Like if it's got a cool bottle, I'll buy it.
Really?
Yeah. Like there's kinds of wines that I like. Like I like Merlots. I like, you know, shit like that. But I just usually go by the bottle. Like, oh, that's a crazy cat on that, you know.
Yeah, I never used to go. If I was on a date, perhaps back in the day, I would order a glass of wine or a bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. But I would never like order a glass of wine while I was eating dinner. But now I do all the time.
Yeah,
I do all the time. Like I like a nice strong red wine with like a steak. Like mm-hmm. it just tastes better. It's like this little, you know, this is this thing. The flavor is all combining. And as I've gotten like Matt Lichtenberg, my buddy, is a huge wine fanatic. He's right. like. he's a wine geek. I mean, he has this crazy wine cellar in his home with some insane amount of money worth of wine in it. And he's one of those guys that can tell you why a wine is good and what year it's good and, you know, what part of the country it comes from and all that kind of shit. And when you're around a guy like that and they know so much about wine, then you start to sort of appreciate it. Like, oh, okay, this is some weird tasting art form. It's like they're trying to create this ultimate taste, and it's a very specific taste. And if you're not, it's a weird thing, like the whole idea of acquired taste. I used to think that was so stupid. Like, why would you acquire a taste for something like caviar? The fucking stuff, you know, it's super expensive, and it really kind of tastes like shit when you first take it. Why wouldn't you just, okay, it tastes like shit forever, and it is what it is. I don't have to worry about it anymore. But no, people get into it, and then they start getting more and more expensive taste. Then you're getting stuff that's thousands and thousands of dollars for these salty fucking stupid fish eggs. Well, wine is kind of like that too. And that, like, the first time you try wine, you're like, ugh, when you're like a little kid or something, like, who the fuck would get into that? But when you really like get a nice Pinot Noir and a delicious steak, and you're cutting into that steak, and then you have a sip of the wine, like, ah, all the flavors together. It takes a while to appreciate it. But knowing someone who knows as much about wine as I do, I mean, he tells me so much about, you know, like, you know, it's all about like how they put it in, what kind of barrels they use to store it, and how they store it, and how long they store it, and how long has it been bottled for, and
it's pretty amazing. One of the wineries I went to, they did cheese pairings, which is cool because you think, okay, they're going to mix this cheese with this wine. Yeah, it's going to just taste like
cheese.
Now,
if I still use the word faggot, which I don't, I might throw it at you right there. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like cheese. You like cheese?
I do too.
You like wine?
I
right?
do. What's I listen. It just sounds fruity tooty.
Yeah, it does.
You say, I went to a cheese pairing and a wine tasting.
Dude, you know how wet that pussy gets when you're going to a wine and really? Cheese tasting? That's the most ridiculous wet pussy.
Because they
ever
feel
seen.
Normal for totally. The first time in their life. Exactly. Like, I'm normal. Brian's a good guy. He's not taking me to see Poison in concert.
That's right.
He's taking
I'm not
me
fucking
to a sophisticated
taking you to Motel
wine.
6.
Yeah. It's a wine tasting in the middle of Northern California. He's an amazing guy.
That's cool. You know what?
But you went for the fun of it. You didn't went
oh, no, no.
just to impress.
It was more
him.
Like, hey, want to get away, not right. no internet, no work. I just
What's
wanna,
it like up there?
It's beautiful, dude. Yeah? It's the crazy mountains. There's this huge lake at one point. I forget the name of it. North of Santa Barbara. It's this humongous lake where it's just best fishing I can
Now, are there imagine. Families up there or is it just couples mostly?
I saw families, but it was a lot of bed and breakfasts, a lot of nice historic old hotels, you know, that you go in and there's just like every room's unique. That's what we stayed at, like this place called Peterson at the Inn, or the Inn at Peterson.
Is this amazing. Near Santa Ynez?
Yes, right next to near
Tom there. Likas used to always rant and rave about that, man.
It's amazing. There was ostrich farms where it was just huge fields of ostriches running around. You can go there and get like ostrich eggs and like hang out with ostriches, but they're running around. They look like dinosaurs. They look like it's amazing, man. I highly recommend if you just want a weekend out of LA, take the kids, go to some farms. It's pretty relaxing.
Yeah, ostriches are creepy as fuck, man.
Yeah.
All birds are creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I've been joking around about it, about, you know, in my act a little bit about the mass bird deaths that happened, but about how birds are really dinosaurs that survived. But they really are. I mean, that's the closest relative to the dinosaur is the bird. And an ostrich is a fucking dinosaur. It's a big-ass, weird-looking dinosaur.
Yeah.
With the taste delicious. You ever get the
ostrich
burger?
Fuddruckers?
Yes.
Wow.
Ooh, strong, right?
Buy me a Coke.
Yeah, I'll buy you a Coke. You got to have it rare, though. Don't be a pussy. You don't have to worry about Mad Cow with those bitches. Just get that shit rare. Fire that fucker up. Feel that raw, rare ostrich meat. So delicious, man.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Would you go camping here in L.A.? Tent camping?
Shit. Why would I go camping where I can drive home? The only time I go camping is when I'm too far away to drive home. And if I have guns on me.
Yeah.
I'm going hunting with Ricky Schroeder.
Are you really?
Yeah, we're going.
Oh, no.
We're going to this ranch where you could shoot boar. And they even have bison at this ranch.
Oh,
and it's
yummy.
Like you pay them for whatever you shoot. And then you go out onto there. They have this giant hunk of property out near Riverside, out near San Diego, that way. And so I'm going.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah. I've been wanting to go for a while. I'm supposed to go hunting in October with Randy Couture, with the natural Randy Couture. We're going up for a TV show. So before that, I'm going to get some in with Ricky. That guy loves hunting, man. He got, when I talked to him about it, his eyes lit up and everything. He wants to come back on the podcast.
Oh, I was going to say, Ricky to me was one of my favorites. My favorites stories. Were always the out of nowhere people, like the Ricky Schroeder or even Kevin Pereira, I think was one of my favorite ones of all time.
Kevin was awesome. Yeah. Rick has got some interesting stuff going on right now too, man. He just got some serious skin cancer removed from his face.
Are you serious?
Yeah. You got to be people walking around outside without sunscreen, man. Be fucking careful. If you see some little mark on you, man, people die from weird skin, you know, little things when you're out there getting burnt and you don't think it's a big deal, and then you get melanoma. He had a big chunk of his face removed, man.
Fuck.
He's got a big scar right on his temple.
Do you get checked a lot?
Yeah. Well, I'm not at risk because right. I'm fairly dark skinned. I get tanned pretty easily, but right. I don't fuck around the sun, man. Yeah. I don't. But Rick is pale. You know, he's like white like paper. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be careful as fuck. And he's always out in the sun. He's like Mr. Outdoorsy. You know, he's got this giant piece of property, and he's got property in Colorado. Ricky Schroeder's an interesting guy, man. He's a super outdoorsman character. He's always out there like chopping wood and shit and getting things done. You know, he's like he wishes he lives on a farm or something like that. I think growing up poor, you know, or rather growing up super rich. I mean, growing up rich and famous from the time as early as he can remember, he was a celebrity and he was rich. So he's always had so much fucking money that I think he likes driving around pickup trucks. He likes like doing like manual labor and shit like that. But when you do that, you got to put your sunscreen on, homie.
Yeah.
Especially California out here, this fucking heat, the sun constantly beating down on you. People get cancer. You got to be careful.
I have a bunch of moles. I'm a very moldy motherfucker. But my mom's had a few cut out. And so,
really?
Yeah. So I recently went because there's this one that I have on my back that always is like crunchy. You know, it's not good. Yeah, it's not good. It's not crunchy. It just feels like different than all the other ones, you know. And sometimes, you know,
imagine if that was your problem. And they pull that out, and all of a sudden, boy, you could think clear and
right.
fucking start going to the gym. Just that mold was like a little vampire,
yeah.
just sucking the life out of you.
So I went there, and she's like, "No, that's fine. It's normal." And I'm like, "Really? That's why is it? No, that's just the kind it is, or whatever." And then she showed me pictures. Like, if it ever looks like this. Come back.
What's you gotta look at Annie Oakley style? Look at your back with
yeah,
a mirror.
Exactly. What the fuck's that about?
What is it? What is it supposed to look like when it's bad?
It's like red around it. It looks kind of like it. When she showed me, I was like, oh yeah, that looks bad. You know, not this little mole that's a little flaky or whatever.
Yeah. When are they gonna fix that? Moles can kill you.
Yeah.
Keep a good eye on your mole because it might be a bomb.
Yeah, how are you supposed to see that? I mean, that's...
Yeah, especially if you got it in a weird place. Like, what if you died of a mole that was, like, right near your asshole?
Right.
Who looks at their asshole?
Yeah.
You know?
Unless I only look at assholes in hotel rooms. That's like...
Well, a girl's asshole. You look at a girl's asshole if you're banging her from behind. Right. But do you look at your own in a hotel room?
Yeah, because that's the only time where there's good lighting and good mirrors. I'll sit on, like, the counter and just, like, fucking spread open and go, oh, look at my butthole.
Really?
Once in a while, you should check it out just to look at it.
Hmm.
I mean, when was the last time you looked at your butthole?
It's been a long time.
Exactly. What if you opened it up and there was this big purple thing
I wait
in
for
it?
Signals from it. If it's sending me signals saying there's something wrong, constant itching, weird noises, then I'll go check it out.
Fucking itchy asshole. Have you ever had an itchy asshole? Like it, for like a couple of days, it was
it's
just
a
nonstop.
Louis C.K. bit.
It's also a Dane Cook bit.
That's weird. How did Dane Cook and Louis C.K. come up with this thing again?
Very common joke.
That does happen.
We've
all had itchy assholes.
I was thinking about itchy assholes, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. There's like 3,000 jokes about itchy assholes.
Yeah, there's quite a few. I mean, the issue with Dane and Louie, obviously, was that Louie had done it first. But, yeah, butthole jokes are quite common.
Yeah.
If you think about a subject and it's an obvious subject for a joke, chances are someone's already done 100 jokes on it. You know when I looked up the other day, you know, I'm writing this chapter in my book, and it has to do with porn. And so I was talking about the moment that I realized that the internet was taking porn to a whole new level was the moment, I forget who it was. It might have been Duncan sent me an email, and the email heading said home run. And then I opened up the email and it just said, I love people in all capital letters and a link. So I clicked the link and it opens up. It's Belladonna on all fours with a baseball bat stuffed in her asshole. I mean, it's stuffed in there, fat end first, which I didn't even think was possible. And I remember double face palming like the Home Alone kid and going, this bitch is just taking shit to another level. She stuffed the baseball. And then I thought about it, or is she taking it to another level? And I went and did a Google search, and there's 2,800,000 hits for baseball bat in the ass.
Yeah. It's normal, and you know when she, it's normal shit. No, you know when she did that, she used to tweet about that where she was stretching it out for like a whole week. Like, I got a big anal scene, you know, and so she had like all these butt plugs and she just spent the week getting ready for doing shit like that. You know, she doesn't do porn anymore. I heard she retired.
Well, she had that really sad interview. I don't remember what it was for, whether it was Nightline or one of those shows, but you know, where they made her feel bad about it. Right. And you know, and they asked her, you know, what happened to you? How did you become this porn star? And they kind of like go over her past and shit like that. And then at the end, she was like, you know, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And then they found out afterwards that she had done some more movies after, you know, after she said that.
All right.
It was weird. It was like, you know, you kind of wanted to root for her to get out of it, and then she's still in it. And it's like, you know, fucking, not everybody can be a ballet instructor, okay? Right. Some people are going to be porn stars. And by the time they're that age where they're going to be porn stars, man, the least of their problems is fucking on film. That's the least of their problems is that baseball bat in their ass. That's the least of their problems. The big problem is, what have you become that you're letting someone put a baseball bat in your ass? What has happened to you to get you to this point? It's not the bat itself. That's not the real issue. It's who are you? Like, what kind of a strange person are you that you know, you've got your asshole up in the air and there's a giant log in it, a big fucking bat. And then there's 2,800,000 hits of that.
But then you also think about it, if that only is bad if you think it is bad. You know, like, if I
don't think that's good for anybody's asshole.
Yeah. If it's like, hey, I could put, yeah, I know. But if like, hey, I could put a baseball bat in my ass, that equals $20,000. Okay.
Do you think they get paid that much? Because I don't think they do.
No, I don't think they do either.
I think it's a couple grand if they're lucky. And I think that might have been during the heyday.
Yeah.
You know, I think nowadays, I don't, you know, those girls were getting like $500,000 Vivid deals. You remember? I remember hanging out with Jenna Jameson's husband, and he was a producer, and he was giving me the whole skinny on how much money there is in the porn industry. And this dude, you know, he had all the numbers, and I was like, that is incredible. Like, there was so much money. And then the internet came along. The internet just robbed them all.
Yeah.
Sucked it all away. And now, I mean, how the fuck do you make money now doing porn?
Well, I think there's definitely still money there. It's more of, you just have to do more. Like, I know a lot of these girls, they'll do like, you know, like a spanking video and make $500. Then they'll, you know, do another video later that day where it's just them masturbating and they get $1,000, you know? So it's like, then you think of it that way. It's like, all right, you just made $2,000 today.
And is it for a website? Is that what it's
for? Yeah, most of these are websites, you know, fetish websites or, you know, exchanging content. I think that the weirdest thing about knowing all these porn stars, I think the saddest thing is not even how they got into it or that they do it, because I don't have a problem with it, is that their future, because a lot of them don't have an idea.
Yeah.
Once that they're
like
not
athletes.
Wanted. Yeah.
They're like fighters.
I mean, is that where you go to, you know, like a truck stop, or is that really older woman, then you're just like, wow, she used to be a,
yeah,
you know, Playboy bunny.
You know? Well, you know, look, this avenue, this internet avenue, has opened up the door to the point where there's way, way, way more porn stars than there ever were back in the day. You know, and porn is so much more available. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, there was the way you got porn was magazines. When I was a kid, VHSs came out while I was in high school. I remember we got one. It was like a big deal at our house. You know, and my dad had my stepfather had a couple of porns laying around the house too, and I got to watch those too, and I was like, what the hell is this? You know, to go from like it never existed, or every now and then you saw a magazine. And the weird thing about those magazines were they had rules. So you'd buy a porn magazine, but there was rules, and one of the rules was the man couldn't have a hard-on.
Yeah. They still have those rules.
Really?
Yeah, like where they can't show insertion in, you know, in certain magazines.
But some magazines they can.
Yeah.
But back then, it was all magazines. Back then, there was no magazines that showed hard-ons.
Right.
And I think, I mean, none that you could find. Hmm. And it was like, you know, you'd ask the guy at the counter if you were bold, you know, at the bookstore. But you didn't really want to ask him. Like, hey, how come nobody's dick's hard? What's going on here? Yeah. You know, you don't really bring it up to him. But there was always, like, these weird poses where they would be in, like, not just one, but, like, 20 different poses. And in each one of them, the girl's like moaning like she's an exy, and the dude doesn't have a heart on,
right?
Like in every one of them, it's like, what is the message that they're trying to send you? You know, what is the message that they're trying to send you? Is it that this is just how the universe works, and that women that are way hotter than you could ever possibly imagine will always wind up with gay guys, and you're going to be alone by yourself jerking off onto pictures of them? I mean, is that what it is? What is the message? Why can't they have hard-ons? They're naked and they're there. And then the surreality of it all comes into play, because you see all these 20 different scenes. You're like, this bitch is not giving up. In every scene, she's super enthusiastic. She seems non-judgmental. This guy can't get it up, and she's doing everything for him. She's posing. She's got her ass up in the air. She's lying on her back with her legs spread, sucking on her fingers. She's letting him pick her up, and he's holding her by the ass. And his dick's still limp. It's still limp. And this bitch is just there for him the whole way. She's like, super, some way, eventually he's going to get a hard-on. I know it. I just keep posing for him. And so she's in all these weird poses and never loses interest. Never has the, you know, it should be like at least the 18th or 19th pose. She should be like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on? Like, why do you have my legs spread and, you know, you're laying your limp dick on my pelvis?
Right.
You know, like a drowning victim just pulled ashore. You know, it's like slop. I mean, that's what it's like. He's got his limp dick and he's laying it on her pelvis. Like, who is that for? Like, what? It's who doesn't want hard dicks? Like, who is there? It's like, this is where we draw the line. You want to get all naked and crazy and pretend you're fucking.
So if you had to look at a dick, it was either hard or limp, you would pick hard all the time.
If I had to look at a dick, it depends. If I'm beating off, the last thing you want to do is be beating off to a dude with a limp dick.
So you would rather have hard dicks?
Yeah, because you can't even imagine that would feel good. You'd feel like that the guy would be embarrassed and that it feels pointless and she doesn't feel good because he's not even excited. And so there's a lot of like weird shit going on there. At least if the guy has an erection while he's feeling good, it feels good. And at least she's happy that she can give him an erection. It's a much more positive experience.
Is it hotter for you if the dick is black or white?
I can't really relate to black dicks.
See, I always like black
dick. But I can relate to a black dick if it's big, but then a little tiny micro white dick.
Yeah, I'd rather have hard black dick fucking a girl because for some reason to me that's naughtier or something
that's
like that.
Naughtier,
so I'm like, yeah,
really?
You take that big black dick, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Really? So you find yourself saying that as you're doing the stroking motion?
I whisper it.
You whisper, take it. What, for real? That makes it more naughty to you?
Yeah, it just seems like you're getting fucked for realsies.
I remember some girl for realsies. Some girl came to the Comedy Store one night and she gave us the rules of being a porn star. I think she was with Ron Jeremy, and she was like, you know, rule number one is don't fuck black guys until they pay you. You can't do it right away. Don't fuck them until they pay you. Rule number two is no anal for a long time. You gotta keep it to yourself. I'm like, you have strategies on what you hold back when you do porn? Oh, yeah, honey. It's a business. Oh, yeah, honey. It's a business.
Wow.
Yeah. They strategize when to give up for the black dick. You can't just right away start fucking black guys. Hey, settle into that a little.
Yeah.
Like some girls, like Jenna Jameson never fucked a black guy.
Well, that's a big thing in porn. Once you go black, you're actually considered different than
really?
If you did. It's like a weird porn.
So why do girls, why do any girls do black guys just, I mean, for their career? Why do they do that?
Maybe I don't know.
They're just easy.
Yeah, they just want to fuck black guys, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they're there for equal rights,
I guess. But a lot of the porn buyers are Southern and stuff like that. And once you fuck a black guy, well, I don't want that stupid slut.
Please, there's a disproportionate amount of all interracial porn sold in the Deep South.
Is that it?
Yeah, I used to do a whole joke about that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's a true story. It's a true statistic. Yeah, a disproportionate amount is sold, and it's not black guys buying that stuff. It's scared white guys going, look at that nigga fucking that white woman. Oh, man, I can't believe what he's doing right there. Oh, yeah.
Stop looking me in the eyes. Stop.
Dirty bitch. Yeah, I think that that whole black-white thing eventually is going to go away. I think we're all going to be like one strange shade of gray, mm-hmm. You know, one mocha, one something.
Mexican. We're all going to be Mexican.
We're all going to be Mexican.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the black white thing can't last. It only lasted back when people couldn't move to other places. When you were stuck in China and everybody else was in China, well, you fed off the same gene pool and you produced Chinese people, mm-hmm. You know, but once the Africans got to, you know, the Northern Africa and Egypt and things started getting weird and they took over, you know, Cairo and then they move into other places and then the Moors, you know, hit Sicily and then all these, you know, fucking the Spaniards come over on boats and fuck the American Indians. And then eventually we're going to be a world culture. I just don't see how you can keep people from interbreeding for the next millennia. I just don't see it happening. I think in the next 1,000 years, we're all going to be one shade, you know? Mm-hmm. They think that's what happened with Neanderthals. You know, Neanderthals got assimilated into the population. They used to think they went extinct, but now they think they sort of went extinct because women wouldn't fuck them. But men would fuck the women. Men, human men, would fuck Neanderthal women and make babies with them. But Neanderthal men were like, what the fuck? Nothing? Nothing? Right. And they just got on the outs.
Hmm. That would be weird. What would that one final species look like?
Yeah.
Maybe well, that's the end of the world once you make Jesus.
Well, it's probably going to look like aliens.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at the gray alien, the model alien, this big, big head and, you know, sexless body and, you know, and no muscle tone. And that's probably the next stage. I mean, if you look at monkeys and then you look at us, and what is the difference? Well, our heads aren't. The monkeys have smaller heads. Our heads are bigger. Our muscles aren't as big. We're softer. We're not. We last longer. We have, you know, nutrition and information and all that stuff. But physically, we're far weaker than the chimps. You know, and then well, then they're going to be more weak than us with bigger heads. Their heads are going to be bigger. They're going to be more more smooth and less muscular and sinewy because they're not going to need that. They're never going to be in combat. You're never going to be fighting for their life against other bodies and trying to take down animals to eat them. They're moved way, 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 way past that shit. That's, I mean, the human alien connection, you know, for a lot of people, they believe that what their alien image represents, whether it's real or imagined, what it represents is humans from the future. And that the eventual metamorphosis of the human animal, the morphing, the evolving, will ultimately lead to something like that. We look at inherently all our issues. Well, first of all, we have sexual issues. We have emotional issues. We have, you know, anger issues. We have all these things. Well, all the depictions of the aliens, they've gone completely past all that shit. You eliminate all your sexual issues if you can reproduce, you know, outside of a male-female environment. If you're able to reproduce completely in laboratories or in, you know, petri dishes or whatever the fuck they're doing, you know, if the human animal moves past reproduction in a natural way, I mean, that might be. What if they found out that babies were 100% smarter and they lived twice as long and they were, you know, five times more resistant to diseases if you raise them in a test tube. Mm-hmm. If everybody raised them outside of the womb in some new machine that someone created. Well, every woman would want that. Why would you want your kid to be stupid? Because you want to carry it around inside you? You selfish cunt. Put the baby in the machine.
Right.
You know, and so that's what they would do. And that's inevitable. They're going to eventually come up with something like that. The human body can only do so much. You know, the human body, they're already figuring out artificial parts. They already devised artificial hearts. They've come up with artificial leaves that make photosynthesis. They're going to have artificial wombs.
Artificial electricity, you know, from yeah. those artificial trees.
Yeah.
You know? So we're going to be able to make electricity.
Yeah, we're going to be able to make electricity. The solar power, there's another thing that I got from Transcendent Man, that the Ray Kurzweil documentary that I watched. Fucking awesome shit, man. But he talks about the upcoming advances in solar power. Solar power is going to be the shit, man. It's going to be driving cars, man. Mm-hmm. They're going to have solar powered cars over the next 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. It's all eventually is moving us towards the aliens, man. I mean, they really might be the ideas of, I don't believe they exist or that they don't exist. I don't believe that, you know, people are really seeing flying saucers. And I don't believe that everything that people see is a government spacecraft. It's very possible that there could be something from another dimension or something from another world or something from some even hokey, ridiculous, cliche description from like a 1950 sci-fi movie. I'm not discounting the possibility of that. But I've looked at all these different people, that all their stories and all their – it doesn't jive, man. It doesn't jive to me. I have an awesome bullshit detector. Mm-hmm. I'm currently reading this John Mack book. John Mack was actually a professor at Harvard who started doing past life hypnotic regression shit with people. You know, hypnotic regression, not past life, but in their past, like abduction stuff, because he was dealing with all these different people that had very, very similar experiences where they were abducted, you know, repeatedly over many times in their life. But I'm looking at the work and I'm reading his stuff and I'm like, God, this is so embarrassing. It's like squirrely work. It's like this guy he's made a conclusion in his mind already. And what he's doing in his work is not like, he's not exploring all the possibilities. He's kind of like pushing towards this conclusion. And the latest one that I'm reading is like, it's so sloppy because he's telling like all these stories about all these people and all the, you know, their depictions of their experiences. How about you tell me how crazy that person is on a 1 to 10? Ask me, what do they think about astrology? What do they think about tarot cards? You know, what do they think about crystals or mind reading? What do they think about the Loch Ness Monster? I want to know a lot of other shit about these people. I don't want to know about what their experience was like. You know, first when I was 8, you know, I was alone in a cabin. I knew something was there with me. I saw the dark eyes in the corner of the room. Really? Were you on lithium? Were you crazy? Are you crazy at all? Is anyone else in your family crazy? Because there's a lot of crazy motherfuckers out there, and they tell some crazy stories. And all you need to know about this whole UFO abduction experience, the one most important point, is that it all happens at night. Well, when the fuck are you dreaming? When the fuck do you have the most realistic, bizarre dreams? The other night I had some crazy fucking dream. I was on a dragon. I was reading from these scrolls that the words would light up on fire as you read them, so you could only read it once. I mean, this is bizarre. Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, it's cool ass dream. But it was a fucking dream, all right? It was really obvious to me when I woke up, like, wow, what a crazy ass dream. Well, what is a dream? Well, what a dream is your mind reaches a certain state in REM sleep where rapid eye movement takes place and all sorts of crazy chemicals, psychedelic chemicals, start being produced by your body. And they all pass the blood-brain barrier and you have all these nutty fucking experiences. And you and your cousin Mikey and you're on sleds and you're running from Godzilla. Like, what is that? Is that real sleds? Should we investigate whether there's sleds in space and whether Godzilla is real? No. No, you should say, when did this happen? Oh, I was sleeping. Oh, you were dreaming, right? Yeah, probably. When were you abducted by aliens? Well, I was in bed. Do you think you were dreaming? No, it was so real. Oh, okay. Let's write a book on how real it was.
And you gotta say, no, it was so real.
Well, a lot of them, the interviews that they do with them are so telling. They're really fascinating. Yeah. And not necessarily that the people are stupid, and it's not even necessarily that they're lying. Because a lot of them, I don't think, are lying. I think what a lot of them are is, first of all, people live some boring-ass fucking shitty lives. Mm-hmm. They're boring as fuck. And if something happens and all of a sudden that something gives your life meaning, like, oh my God, instead of it being some sleep paralysis thing where your brain has this endogenous dump of psychedelic chemicals that are natural in the brain anyway, instead of that being the case, like, no, I have been visited and I have information that I have to give to the people of the world. Well, you know, if you have a natural psychedelic experience or if you have a real psychedelic experience where you take a drug and, you know, you're planning it out, and either one is going to give you a very similar experience. And that experience is, what you're doing is totally wrong. Everybody's fucked up. You need to get your shit together. How about an analysis of yourself, an analysis of life on the planet? And let's look at this other than the way we're looking at it right now, because this obviously isn't working. That's the theme to every mushroom trip, the theme to every acid trip, the theme to every time you eat a pot brownie. You want to reconstruct the whole thing and put it back together again in a way that's rational and that makes sense. You know, and this experience these people are having when the aliens are telling them, well, we need to get your shit together. Yeah. You're high, dude. You're high. You're tripping. You're seeing things in a closet. It's that simple. There's no evidence, man. There's no, all these people that are talking, oh, I got a nick on my shin. Look, this is where they pulled out the implant. Get the fuck out of here, crazy. You really think that aliens are going to leave like little scars on you and they're going to be pulling? You pinched yourself, you crazy fuck. Yeah. You pinched yourself and made your own scar. You nutty bitch.
Not to mention that there's so much technology now that people probably do kind of like pranky shit. You know, like I got these like helicopters that look like, you know, that, you know, like remote control helicopters and stuff like that. And
well, there's also government stuff.
Yeah.
That guy in Philadelphia the other day, thank you, whoever you are, some guy came to the show and handed the manager a book, and the book got to me, and it's all patents on aircrafts that the government has, like U.S. patents.
Oh, cool.
For experimental aircrafts.
Oh, very cool.
It's fucking nuts, man. They're these crazy looking Klingon looking ships and UFO looking things.
What's the book called? That sounds nice.
It's not a book.
Oh, he just
put it
you
together. Yeah, he put it together itself. It was pretty dope.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, you just look at the things that the government has and has admitted to designing and creating. I mean, this is like a fucking a giant amount of them, man. When we were doing Fear Factor, we were out at Edwards Air Force Base, near Edwards Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Edwards. It's out like near, we were in Palmdale, whatever the Air Force Base is out there. It's a big one. And I think it's Edwards. And they were flying stealth bombers. And dude, that is some crazy shit. This was the beginning of the Iraq War. It's like 2002. And they fly those things overhead, dude. You swear to God, you're in Star Wars, man. You swear to God, you're like, that is some shit from the Death Star. Mm. When you watch that thing fly overhead, they don't make much noise, and they look like fucking alien spacecrafts. It's dope. Wow. Like, you look at them like, that is a fucking stealth bomber. You can't see that thing with radar, man. That's something designed to sneak up on you and fuck you from the sky. And you can't even see it coming. And it's black like the sky. So, like, you look up, you see just blackness, and it's black, too. You're fucked.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
Shit's badass.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's all designed for killing people.
Who do you want on the podcast in the future? What is your dream people to get on? I know, isn't Adam Carolla coming?
Yeah, Adam's coming next week. He's going to be here on the 26th. That's Adam Carolla will be there. So, what is that, 7 days from today?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Adam's going to be on. You know what, man? My dream has already been not just reached, but surpassed. When we first started doing this, when you and I first started doing this in episode one, we were just fucking around, man. We were just sitting in front of the computer, and we just thought it'd be fun to have like some little kind of silly show that we would do for like people that were on the message board. Mm-hmm. You know, that's mostly what it was, and people on Twitter. You know, but now it's become like a radio show. Now it's become this this way to tell people about shows that we never had before. You know, it used to be you would go on a radio show and, you know, you would hope that some of the people that are listening were your fans, or hope that you could say something funny enough to convince them. You know, on the radio, it's in the morning, you're fucking half awake.
It's
people listening. It's random people listening, and who knows if you're even going to jive with the DJs. Like, there's a radio station in Houston that apparently is still mad at me for being on their radio show back in, I guess it was like Fear Factor days, like 2002 or 2003. And they apparently still talk shit about me.
About what?
They had me on, and I remember they wanted me, and I was probably tired. And if I came off rude, I didn't mean to. But they wanted me to eat some stuff. First of all, they wanted me to eat some big hamburger they had. And I'm like, no, thank you. Like, I kind of like, I watch what I eat. Mm-hmm. And also, in the morning, I have hypothyroidism. So I take a thyroid medication. And when I take it, I can't eat anything for like an hour. And so I was on this radio show, and they're trying to get me to eat this stupid thing that they made in an easy bake oven.
Oh, I was there. I actually filmed that. That's,
did you?
Yeah, that's
those people are mad at me.
Are you serious?
They still talk shit about me. Like, I'm the worst person they've ever had on their show.
Are you fucking
and I didn't
serious?
Even know that. I didn't even know they had an issue until I left, and apparently they were talking about me when I wasn't there. When I was there, they were nice as pie to me. But then when I left, they started talking like, "What? The guy was so rude." They had a gag, and I wasn't into their gag, and I didn't go with it.
It was stupid shit.
It is stupid. And you know what? They're not comedians, man. And maybe they're not on my vibe, not on my frequency. They're on their own frequency. And they thought it'd be fun. They thought it'd be cool if I played along. But I didn't want to eat their thing, and they didn't adjust. Yeah. They didn't adjust. So then I'm like, why the fuck am I doing this? Yeah. And then it's like, look, when you do radio stations, there's a lot of different kind of radio DJs. Some of them are really cool and easy to do and easy to do their shows. And other ones, they want more attention than you, and they're a little squirrely, and they don't like the fact that you're on TV and they're on the radio, and they get to be cunty. You know, they get to be weird, and they're looking for something to be wrong with you. So if you're coming from some fucking television show and you won't eat their stupid Easy Bake Oven thing, you become an asshole. Instead of, if that was me and I had a guest on, I'm like, come on, eat the Easy Bake Oven, and he won't do it. Oh, I'd be like, what kind of an idiot am I?
Yeah.
I'm getting this guy to eat something. This is all I've planned for this fucking thing. I could be asking him a million interesting questions. Like, we could be talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. But instead, I'm pissed that he won't eat my fucking tuna casserole out of a fucking Easy Bake Oven. So these people apparently are still upset at me.
Wow,
well, used to have to deal with those kind of people in the past. Now I don't have, that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
Every show that I do now, I do nothing for. No press. Yeah. I mean, I did Preston and Steve. I called up for Philly, but it was after the shows were already sold out. But I did it because I like them, because they're cool guys. But like, when we do these shows now, we have our own radio station. We have our own ability to promote the shows.
And probably more listeners than ever than compared to that radio station that hates you.
Yeah. Well, that and it's all 100% your fans.
Yeah.
Those are, I hate that word. All 100% people who appreciate your work.
Right.
So they already are enjoying what you do. They already enjoy your podcast. They're already there for you. They like you, you know, and so they want to come to the shows. And as opposed to, you know, doing a radio show and trying to get people out there to listen and like you. And that's why people like those people, these mediocre folks in Houston, that's why they you know, they have like this, that's why they have power. Their only power was that they're the ones who get to talk on this radio show. Meanwhile, they're not even, they have no talent. There's nothing going on there. They're just talking people. They're just dum-dums that are, and then they play music. They sort of hijack your attention span for a few minutes while you wait for the next cool song to start playing.
And they're just sitting there reading your Wikipedia page most of the time. So, Joe Rogan, I heard that you...
That wouldn't even be a problem for me. It's just don't, you know, I don't know why they're still upset at me, because apparently this is some recent interview.
Oh, really?
I didn't even know about it. I don't even know who they are. I don't even know where the station is.
Wow.
I don't care.
But it was Houston.
It's there. Look, if it's all these years and you're still upset that I wouldn't eat your thing, that's on you. That's on you. 100%. I didn't do anything to you. I didn't break your window. I didn't light your bathroom on fire. You know, if I just didn't eat your thing, that's on you. Hmm. It's the whole world is filled with different kinds of people, man. And if you try to make everybody happy, you will fucking go crazy. I know when I've been a douchebag in my past. I know when I've done things where I could have made this go smoother. I could have just, this isn't one of those things. This is just stupidity. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to deal with stupidity.
You're going to Texas soon, aren't you? Like August or something like that? Yeah. Are you going to go back to?
Yeah, I'm going to Houston in, I think, August.
August. Oh, can't wait. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm doing September again in Austin too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's always a good time.
Yeah, and plus now it looks like I'm recording the special in June. So if that happens, then I'll have to have all new shit by the time September rolls around. So I got a lot of work to do.
Right.
That's exciting, man. I've been writing a lot lately, man, because I'm trying to finish this book. I've been writing like crazy, man. Writing is so fucking satisfying. It might be one of my favorite things to do. I love the idea that you just sit in front of that computer and these ideas just start dancing in your head. They start dancing, you know, they start arranging themselves on paper. And then sometimes, like when an idea will come out and then another idea will follow it, and I'll step back and look, and I'm like, wow, it's this crazy thing that just like happened through me, you know, this crazy idea that, you know, just happened through me. And then it all like puts itself onto paper. And then the next thing you know, there's 100 pages. Next thing you know, there's 200 pages. It's like, wow, it's such a fascinating process, man. The creative process of actually sitting down and writing. It's amazing, man. I tried last night. I was going to write just for a little, like an hour, and then get in the tank. But sometimes every now and then you tap into a vein and you got to stay there. You can't go anywhere, you know. And I just had one idea that I needed to write down before I went into the tank. And as I was writing that idea down, something about writing, like say if you're thinking about a word, like if you're writing the word experience, it takes longer to write that word than it is to think of the concept of experience. So it allows you to deeply consider everything that you're saying. And then oftentimes, like when you're writing, I can seem so much smarter writing than I ever could just talking.
You think?
Yeah.
You talk very like smart.
Yeah, but I'm way I'm way smarter writing than I am talking. It's because you can consider everything much more. You know, you get a chance to look at it. You know, you really get to know someone. Like, and that's another beautiful thing about this podcast. You get to know someone when you're talking to them for a long time. You get to know, like, how their brain works. You know, like, you could write things out. Like, that always used to drive me crazy about presidential speeches and shit like that. That they have people writing them for them. That is so fucked up.
It's just time, right? Because they have to give, like, a speech, like, every fucking day almost.
Can't you just speak from the heart?
Yeah, but there's probably things they have to just touch on. They're probably not like writers, like this is what you have to say. It's more of like taking your ideas and making it in a speech form. Because I mean, they literally have to do like probably 2 or 3 speeches a day. If you looked at Obama's like...
Really? Does he do 2 or 3 a day?
Yeah, they're always going to colleges or talking here with representatives. You know, they're always doing speeches if you looked at his schedule. Like there was that one time where they followed him around for a week. Or I forget what program did it. And it was just like his schedule was pretty much from when he wake up. Just going from one place to another, giving a speech.
Fuck. Either way, write your own speeches, bitch. I think he does, actually. And one of his most famous speeches is one that he wrote, one of the ones when he was running for office. He's a smart guy, and he's a very good speechwriter. But the whole idea of having a speech written out for you by a bunch of other people is kind of offensive to me. It's like, what the fuck are you doing being the leader if you've got all these people telling you exactly what to say? And, you know, you're following all these charts and graphs, and this is what the people want, and so let's give them this, and this is sort of in the middle, and we'll lower their expectations with that, and then we'll hit them with this to make them happy. It's like so obvious that we're being played, you know? That's what drives me nuts about speech writing, about the idea of it. So it's just like, they're not even trying to pretend that, you know, they're not playing you. They're not even trying to pretend that this guy wrote this shit himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's just up there reading off a fucking teleprompter, and you're just going, yay, and nothing changes.
Yeah. I could never do that. I could never do speeches or anything like that.
You could if you wanted to give speeches on podcasting or speeches on something that you know a lot about. Like if you want to give speeches on how to be a good video editor, you could do that. You could easily do like a seminar on video editing. You know, if you ever wanted to, like if people like were into your internet videos, and you could come up with a bunch of bulletin points of things that you need to consider. Like, hey, brevity, you know, this, you want to make it under 10 minutes. You want this, you want that.
True.
You know, this is my best video and this is why. And the good thing about this video is it starts off in one point and then it goes back in time, then it brings you forward again, you know, and then you could easily do something like that. Anything that you're into, man, you could teach other people how to do it.
Did you hear that Flip Video is no more?
What?
Cisco bought Flip Video and they axed him.
They killed it.
Yeah, I always thought for some reason Flip Video was very successful and a big money maker. It seems like everybody's got Flip Videos.
I see a lot of them. I know Norton had it when Norton was at Austin. He taped all his sets with that shit.
Yeah, they killed it for some reason.
Is it so good? Is it a big deal?
Well, I mean, it's just kind of weird that they did that, you know.
You would have never found out about that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It just would have just died. Stopped. Unless you were reading the technology page of the New York Times, you know.
Right.
How the fuck would you have ever known?
Yeah.
You know, now you get like an email alert from CNN to tell you that Flip Video has been eaten up by Cisco.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Weird. You know who Scott Adams is? The guy who created Dilbert?
Uh-huh.
He got busted going online defending himself under a fake name.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Is that like the weakest shit ever?
How did he get busted?
And then, I don't know. He got busted. And then he like wrote something about it, admitting it. And this is what he wrote. According to wise and fair denizens of the internet, this is after he's been busted. According to the wise and fair denizens of the internet, this behavior is proof that I am a thin-skinned troll, asshole, dick, fame whore, egomaniac, douche nozzle, misogynist. Wow. That list might sound bad to you, but keep in mind that I was starting from a pretty low base, so I think my reputation is trending up. That's pretty funny.
Wow.
Yeah. It's in the OC Weekly. If you guys want to read it, it's kind of interesting because they're, you know, they're like, wow, this. So what he did was he logged online, and he did under the name Planned Chaos, and he pretended to be the only person in the world who doesn't hate him. Because I guess he's been getting in trouble lately. I don't remember what it was. I don't remember what exactly he said. He said some things that people thought were questionable. And so people were shitting all over him. I met him. He was on an episode of News Radio.
Really?
Yeah. That goes to show you how old Dilbert is. Dilbert's been around forever, man.
I never got into Dilbert, really.
It's terrible. Those cartoons are like the lowest expectation ever for humor and for entertainment value.
Yeah.
It's amazing that they can make so much money. Like, I used to read Doonesbury, and I remember Doonesbury was the smart one, man. It was really smart. The only time, to me, it was even remotely interesting was when they had Raoul Duke. It was the Hunter S. Thompson character who would come in with guns and start shooting shit up. And, you know, it was like Hunter S. Thompson's, they kind of like, he has his character Raoul Duke from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he like, the novel is sort of based on, very loosely on him and this his friend Oscar and the crazy shit they did when they were on drugs in Vegas.
Right.
And this guy from Doonesbury just sort of co-opted that character, sort of stole his intellectual property and started using it as characters inside of his Doonesbury comic. I thought that was kind of cool. Like, that was kind of funny that he did that. It was kind of, those were fun. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like most of it was like really like nothing. It's like the jokes were like, whew. Like, you ever read, like, Marmaduke or something like that?
Or Beetle Bailey. How is that shit still even possible?
Is Beetle Bailey still around?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I don't fucking...
Yeah, who would cry if the cartoon section... I remember when I was a kid, though, I used to like the cartoon section.
I used to like Farside. That was fucking brilliant And then they just, you know, kind of went away. When I was a Garfield guy growing up, obviously. So Garfield and Farside were my two. Calvin and Hobbes, pretty...
So you do like cartoons.
I do. I mean, but then you get those ones like whatever that fucking Kathy Ziggy.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking.
There's some that don't make any sense, and you have to wonder how those people keep their jobs. Is it like some sort of a government job where you can't get fired?
Yeah. Or that Prince Valiant or whatever that one that was
Prince
like.
Valiant.
Remember that one? What was that one where it's like all medieval knights and shit?
Yeah.
I always tried to get into that one, but I could never fucking do it.
Oh, they're the worst, man.
Yeah,
they're the worst. Is there anything worse than fucking stupid cartoons? There's no lower standard. You know, like, have you ever, like, read a cartoon and laughed?
No.
Like, holy shit, well, that's
Far
funny.
Side, Far Side, definitely.
Really?
Yeah, Far Side's... you never read any of the Far Side?
I never got into it, man. I think, like stand-up comics, some cartoons are so bad, they, like, turn you off to other cartoons.
Wow.
Like, I've talked to people that have been to, like, shitty comedy shows, and like, nah, I'm not really into live comedy.
Right.
Like, whoa, you're not into live comedy. Okay, what are you talking about? Have you ever gone to see Louis C.K.? Okay, go see Louis C.K. and then tell me if you're into live comedy. Because you might not be into some douchebags at the Chuckle Hut, you know, that, right. that are telling nonsense jokes. But go to see Chris Rock. Go to see, you know, Dave Chappelle. Go to see a real comic. You're going to love comedy, man. Don't get crazy. You go see Joey Diaz. And if you don't laugh, you don't have a fucking pulse. All right? There's something wrong with you. You're not enjoying that? Joey destroyed all weekend in Philadelphia. He's so fun to have around, man. No one makes me laugh more than that guy. He's so fucking fun to have around. But as we were saying before, he gets wired. He gets angry at you.
Yeah. I'm just reading these facts that were on dig.com today, facts about masturbation. And that's going through that male kangaroos have been known to give themselves blowjobs, and female porcupines have been witnessed using wooden sticks as dildos.
What?
Can you imagine watching an animal jack off?
Sticks?
Hey, dinosaurs have dicks, right? Right?
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Can you imagine how big that dick is? And then, like, if a dinosaur fucking cummed, like, how much cum that would be?
If a dinosaur cummed, how are you 12, bro?
No, I was just thinking that the other day.
If a dinosaur cummed,
thinking of dinosaur dicks.
How big would the load be if a dinosaur cummed?
Yeah. And here's another fact. What? 30% of suicides by males age of 12 through 20 are attributed to autoerotic asphyxiation?
No, what is that on Wikipedia, man?
I don't know. Here's a flashlight.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah, from 12 to 20.
That's silly.
That's insane.
You know, here's a fucking interesting statistic that's real. 70% of all pornography gets watched during 9 to 5 hours.
Really?
Yep.
12% of a porno film is watched at a hotel room on average. Only 12.
That makes sense. But 70% being during the internet or downloaded from the internet while you're at work, 9 to 5.
Yeah, totally.
How many people are watching this podcast or listening to this podcast at work?
While a lot. How many people are masturbating while listening to this podcast?
Two people right now, and only one's hard. One of them is crying, struggling, trying to make shit happen. There's too much porn, I think, at this point. It's almost like it's too easy to beat off. You know, it's all out there. It's almost like unavoidable. Like, it used to be hard as hell to get some pornography. When I was a kid, like we were talking about earlier, like about magazines, man. That was where you got magazines, man. You had to go to a liquor store and ask for the back shelf. And, you know, nowadays, man, it's so fucking easy to get pornography. Nowadays, you could just specialize on one particular type of pornography.
Yeah.
You could be like a weirdo foot guy. You only want foot jobs, girls jacking guys off with their feet. And you could fucking stack monitors to the top of your room, like a movie screen, 50 feet high. And every one of them has got a different video of a girl jerking a guy off with their feet. Wow. And you would die of old age before you watched all of them.
There's this shit that I was reading about where guys who go to graveyards after they bury somebody like recently, like they go the next day after they bury somebody and they dig them up and fuck them.
Oh God!
Like they check the obituaries and find like a young teen, you know.
Oh, where was this happening?
It was on the internet. I read it.
There was an old Kinison bit. People doing it in a mortician's office, the mortuary. That, you know, remember that bit?
I could see that happening.
Dude, that bit is what got me into Kinison.
Really?
I've told this story before, but in the interest of brevity, a girl that I was working with did the bit for me because she was telling me how funny he was. And she was lying on her stomach in the parking lot going, oh, you mean life keeps fucking you in the ass even after you're dead? It never ends. And I remember thinking, like, wow, what is this guy like? This guy must be the funniest guy ever. And then I got a hold of his HBO special, and I got a chance to see it. That was probably the one moment when I was 19 years old with that girl on her stomach in the parking lot telling me that joke. That was one of the one moments one of the few moments in my life where a spark went off in my head, like, wow, maybe I should do that. Maybe I should be a fucking comedian. You know, when I was 19, I had no idea what the hell was going to happen in my future. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I was already starting to think, like, maybe, you know, maybe I have to find something. You know, maybe it's not martial arts. I have to find, like, something else to do. Like, maybe it was this. This fucking guy's on his stomach, you know, pretending to get fucked in the ass. Like, well, there was nothing like that back then, man. But I think his joke was based on a true story. It was in L.A. Some people got arrested for paying the morticians to spend a few hours undisturbed with the freshest male corpses.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I think if I was a mortician, and I think if you get a hot chick, that there'd be sometimes you're sitting in this basement by yourself, you'd be like, I'm definitely going to touch this
video's food. Online. There's photos online of guys fucking dead bodies.
I don't think I could fuck it.
There's a photo online of a guy with this, where I don't know if it's still up. This is years ago. This was in the late 90s, early 2000s. And it was a whole sequence of photos from start to finish of this woman being on the slab. She's clearly dead, you know? And then, you know, him putting his penis inside of her.
I've seen that.
Yeah. And it's like, whoa, dude. You know, he didn't just take these photos of someone's daughter and someone's sister or someone's wife. He fucked her and took pictures of it and then put it online. You know,
it's some fucking crazy shit, man.
I wonder how many people who get into, like, what the number is. How many people who get into being a mortician or being, how many of them are
for
into,
the sex?
Yeah, how many are fucking around with bodies?
I'm sure it's very high, man. I'm never surprised at the things I hear, and I think if you were into fucking dead bodies, that would be the number one thing to do.
Good is the meat in the dead body? Is it?
I'm sure it's juicier.
Solid as a rock?
I'm sure it's juicier.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, well, is rigor mortis set in? Can they fix that? Is there a way that they can have rigor mortis not set in? Like, what happens when they embalm them? Don't they pump out all the? I mean, what is rigor mortis? What does that come?
That's
from?
That's where the
Do you know what it comes from?
I think now? That's when you die, the body just stiffens up. But I don't think it's. I think you it's
pick
immediate.
Up a squirrel off the road.
Yeah,
I don't think it's immediate. I think it takes a few hours.
Oh,
yeah. So maybe if you get the person right after they die, they'd be still pliable.
Yeah, but don't you like when you die? You just automatically piss and shit yourself and all that crap.
You just clean them up, man. If you're gonna fuck a dead body, you can't have high standards.
Yeah, son. That's. Kind of have to warm them up, maybe get some lamps or a heated blanket and let them sit in there for a while or something like that.
Put them in a warm tub. Not warm enough to cook them.
Oh, God. You know, the cool thing is that you could just pretty much fucking rip skin if you like wanted to fuck that ass really hard, you know, and you just start ripping it.
Never have to worry about her getting hurt, right?
Yeah.
That's true. I guess you could think about it that way.
She's a gagger. It's going right through the back of her throat.
Something about disrespecting dead bodies, it's particularly offensive, particularly unsavory. You know, the idea of disrespecting someone's body, their vessel while they're gone, you know, it's so like, it's so inhuman, you know, there's something about it that's like, it's very creepy, right?
Yeah.
One of the creepiest things, that and eating it, eating someone's body after they're dead.
Yeah.
I was listening to Casey Kasem. They were...
he's still around?
I don't know if he's still around. They had him on the radio, though. He might be dead, but they had they were playing ones from the 1970s. Mm. I was in Philly, and Philly has this one badass radio station. I tweeted it. I don't remember the name of it. It's like WOGL.
WGOL.
And it was all like one badass song. It would be like Pink Floyd, it would be Michael Jackson, and then it would be like... you know, Sam Cooke. I mean, it was like some serious fucking jams, one after the other. And it was at this pool hall that we were playing at. And they played like repeats of like the countdown show. And I forgot, like, Casey Kasem with the countdown.
Wow.
And he would...
you just pulled that out.
That's the first time I've ever done that, too.
That was awesome.
Here we go. This request comes...
Scooby, come over here.
Casey Kasem with the countdown. I can't even do it. I have to. If I heard him, I can do it.
Do you know he was Shaggy? Twice.
Really?
Yeah, in Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah, I did know that. Yeah. Zonks? Zoinks? One of the songs, apparently, was about cannibalism. And I don't know the song, but it was about some people that it was like the Donner Party. It was about like, you know, some people that, you know, the Donner Party story. Yeah. They were headed to the West Coast and they got stuck in the mountains of Colorado and they ran out of food and some people died and they ate the dead bodies to stay alive.
Trey Parker made a film about it.
Did he really?
Yeah, Cannibal the Musical.
What's it, Cannibal the Musical?
Yeah, when it's his first movie he made in college with Matt Stone. It's fucking brilliant.
That's really funny because they're from Colorado, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. It's a brilliant movie.
Cannibal the Musical.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, Amazon that shit.
But Casey Kasem was going off, Casey Kasem, about this. Sometimes you have to make decisions. And it was like, the decision was like, we like stopped playing. We're like, what the fuck? This is like, you have to make a decision between eating the body or dying yourself. And we're like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Man? What a weird, you know, top 40 or whatever the fuck it was. Or, you know,
what the song is.
I mean, I think it was a request. You know, I only like tuned into it halfway while he was saying it. But, you know, it was one of the weird things. This Ness song deals with cannibalism. It was like, what? Like, how many times in history have people had to eat people to stay alive? There's only like a few recorded instances, right? Yeah. There's a soccer team that crashed in a plane crash, and they made that movie about them. Remember?
Yeah, what was that? Alive?
They're spooning that guy's ass out.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
The frozen ass meat with a spoon.
That was a freaky ass movie, man, when that airplane broke apart.
And, yeah. Yeah. Tubes made out of metal aren't really meant to fly through the fucking sky.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking the other day is what happened to all those Lost people? You notice how like all those actors from Lost were such a high in their career, and now do you see any of them?
They burnt off. You didn't want to have anything to do with them. Jack was pissing me off, man.
I know.
After a while, man, he really annoyed the shit out of me, man. He drove me nuts. He was so phoning it in at the end when they were all standing around that tub and someone comes back to life. I'm like, this motherfucker is just phoning it in, man. That is ridiculous.
So mad about that.
Yeah, he drove me nuts because he wasn't appreciating his part. He started off that series as a winner. Jack was the fucking hero. He was the man. You know, he was the doctor. He was handsome. All the girls loved him. And by the end, he was a junkie and a loser. And, you know, what they did was, I guarantee you that guy's annoying. I guarantee you that actor is annoying. And they're like, fuck this guy. Like, well, let's start making him a douchebag and start slowly, like, making him more and more annoying.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, they must have done that. Because if he was so cool, everybody else sort of like kept their thing or became more cool as the show went on. You know? Like the really hot girl with no ass. What's her name? The really pretty one with the dark hair.
What the fuck is her name?
Beautiful face. Kate, yeah.
I don't remember her.
She sort of became cooler as time went on. Got her shit together.
Yeah.
You know, raised that girl's baby. You know, she had like a lot of good positive attributes. John Locke became like mysterious and sort of magical and sort of figured out the world. Jack just became a junkie.
Yeah.
Just became a fucking loser, man.
Yeah.
He just slowly
fell
apart.
There's a reason for that. If you saw the last episode, you'd know.
That last episode can suck my dick. I ain't fucking with that, man. I think this.
I can't believe you
watched
that much. And
there's some freedom in walking away for it, man.
Yeah, but you watch so much of it that you might as well see what happens.
There's some freedom in just saying no. You don't have me anymore. You fucks. You can't own me, bitch. I'm not your whore. All right. I'm not tuning in every week to watch your stupid commercials just so you can trick me with your silly storyline.
I don't even watch TV anymore, it seems like.
Well, once you start fucking throwing in, like, time travel and shit like they did, we're in 1970. All right.
Oh, you don't even know what happened.
You fucks. You can do anything you want, fucks.
Well, there's a reason why.
Yeah, the reason
you want
is,
to know? I can tell
the
you
reason
now.
Is they can suck
Would you
it.
Like to know?
Nope. I don't want to know.
You don't
want to
know
I love that you want me to know and that I don't want to know. I love that. There's freedom in that, man.
All right. He was a girl the whole time.
He was a girl? Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Good. He seemed
Kate.
Like a girl.
He was Kate.
Seemed like he was on his period for 10 years. Fucking twat.
Oh, Jesus.
Anything else? Before we get going, there was some questions on the Rogan board that I'm perusing through, and some of them we've actually already answered.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, here's like one. What are your thoughts on listeners supporting the podcast financially? It's not necessary. The podcast, as I said, is a great method for me to promote shows and promote all the other stuff that we do. And we get sponsorships. The more you guys listen, the more we get sponsors. I mean, we just have this Fleshlight right now, but that's mostly because we're going to be moving to Sirius very soon. Both, obviously. We will still be live and free on the internet. It'll still be on iTunes for free. It'll still be available for download on the website for free. But it'll also be on Sirius Satellite Radio, just so more people can listen to it and just you know, I like Sirius. I have it in my car. It's an awesome service, and I think it's just another avenue for us to get heard. And you know, we're not even getting paid for it. The same thing as like Stitcher and all that. I'm for all of those things. And the more of these things that we do, the more it, you know, it like, I've never had this many people come to my shows. I've never had. I mean, it's obvious that this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obvious that there's a benefit for me in that and the promotional aspect of it, and it's a benefit in people that they get this free entertainment, man. And it's a benefit for us too. You know, over the course of the year or so that we've been doing this, one of the coolest things that it really made me appreciate, I was bummed out when I had to come back here from Colorado. You know, I have this idea of raising my kids in a place where it's a little more calm. There's less people. There's less of the pressures of Hollywood, the sort of the bullshit materialism of this area, this part of the country. It's a silly part of the country. There's a lot of cool people here, but it's also a very silly part of the country. So I was bummed out, man, when the dog got eaten by the mountain lion and when Mrs. Rogan got pregnant, we had to come back. I mean, to me, it was like, fuck, I was gone. I made it out of this place. I had escaped, and now I'm back again. But what really like made me appreciate this place was this podcast and was having all these cool people come over all the time, having Ari over, having Eddie over, having Joey over, having Bert Kreischer and Russell Peters and Tom Green. I'm like, you know, I sit back and I go, God, this is so much fucking fun. You know, somehow or another, we have like a real legit national radio show. And not even national, man, worldwide, yeah. Because we had a fuckload of podcast fans in Australia. Mm-hmm. That's on the other side of the fucking planet. And when I asked them about the podcast, they went nuts. So it's a worldwide sort of a thing, man. And, you know, and who the fuck knew when we did this that it would be what it is now? Who knew that every week would be in the, you know, the top five of iTunes? Who the fuck? We had no idea. It was completely by chance. And slowly along the line, it's morphed, and slowly along the line, it's evolved, and slowly along the line, it's become, you know, like something, it is itself now. You know what I mean? Like now we don't think about how to do it. Like we came over here, like Brian came over here today, and we didn't even have to talk. About when we talked about just normal shit like we always do, but this is our 100th episode, man. It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. But we're like, but we should do it. We were like, well, we should do it together. Yeah, let's just do you and me for the 100th. And then that was the thing we had to talk about. It's mm-hmm. like, it is its own thing. You know, it's got its own life to it now. And all the people that send me emails, man, and all the Twitter messages and all the people that I meet in the comedy clubs, I appreciate the fuck out of that. I think it is one of my biggest accomplishments in you know, my career is this podcast and that message board and both of those things. And that the whole internet group of bringing all these cool people together and the positive energy that I get from all these people at shows and the positive reactions that I get. So many people coming up to me and telling me that this podcast helps them think differently. It changes the way they look at life. It changes the way they view their friends, changes the way they view how they interact with other people. You know, I couldn't be happier, man. I couldn't be happier that we did this. And this wouldn't have happened if I didn't give in and come back from Colorado. Mm-hmm. If I decided to stay in Colorado, we would have never have done this. You know?
What about the idea of getting like a female sidekick?
A female sidekick. A whole?
Robin Quivers.
Mrs. Rogan's not really down with that.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, did you hear that? He slurped his coffee again, that fuck.
Spilled it all over your car.
Yeah, if you hear slurping, man, that's me. Blame me. Yeah, you know, Adam Carolla had a really funny girl on his show. He had Teresa Strasser for a while, and she was really funny. And now he's got this new chick. And a lot of people on the Rogan board didn't like her, but I thought she was funny, man. Well, she made me laugh.
The crazy thing about that is he auditioned a few girls, like Esther. Little Esther went there.
Oh, that's
how
this girl got it?
Yeah, and I guess. But what's crazy is like if you go to his website and look at all the comments per episode, every single one of the girls that he did, like, all hate. Like, his audience hates so bad
that
on
girl
the, on any girl that's on his show. I
really?
Feel so bad. Or Brody Stevens. Those so the girls and Brody.
Who is the new girl?
You know, I think her name's like is it Jessie or something like that? Or,
I don't know. I'm looking for it. Name. I'm gonna look it right now because I feel rude that we're talking about her. I'm not bringing her name up.
Yeah, that's gonna be cool to have Adam Carolla on.
Yeah, he's gonna be on this next week, next Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. And your formula that you've been working with on onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, it's, I guess it's almost done. It's on its way.
Yeah.
I was reading the – did you read the case study? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. A lot of people – look, I've been taking 5-HTP, and I've had some pretty powerful results. Mm-hmm. I feel like it makes sentences form easier. I feel like there's more circulation in my brain or something. I mean, I don't know what it is, but 5-HTP has given me a very tangible benefit. And there's some other stuff that I took that gave me some good benefits as well, but what Chris did with this nootropic formula, it's called like alpha brainwave nootropic formula, I was going to call it. What we did was take all of the best nootropics, which are nutrients for the brain, and condense them into I think it's like two pills. Mm-hmm. And it's all these people, the case studies, had some really positive experiences with it.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's all legit stuff. It's all stuff that people have reported actually helps brain function. We're going to combine it into one thing. And I think nutrition and, you know, mental nutrition and physical nutrition, all of it is one of the most underlooked keys to happiness for people. You know, I mean, we have a friend that got on antidepressants, and this motherfucker eats Cheetos every night and never works out. And I was like, yo, dude, you know, if you took care of that body, I guarantee you, you'd feel a little bit better. I mean, I'm not saying you don't have an issue that maybe needs to be corrected chemically, because I'm not inside your head. Mm-hmm. But I know for a fact, my own brain, if I didn't work out, I would not be nearly as happy.
Yeah.
I would have all this extra pent up shit. And you got to get that out, man. And you got to treat this fucking vehicle good. Give this vehicle vitamins, man. I drink fresh squeezed juices every morning. Every morning when I'm at home, I squeeze, I get ginger and raw garlic and carrots and celery, and I blend it all together, and you feel so fucking good.
It's great.
You're getting all those raw nutrients in your body. And your body, you know, to people that I know, I have a lot of friends who are very, very smart, but they almost think that there's something vain and trivial and foolish about taking care of your body. You know, they smoke cigarettes, or they eat shitty food, and, you know, and they never exercise. They never take care of themselves. Like, man, you're missing out on a big chunk of life. It's annoying. It's annoying to have to go to the gym. That's why it's good to learn a martial art, or it's good to like to pick up a sport or racquetball or something where you're forced to move around, you know, where it's fun. It's part of the whole game. But find some way to take care of your fucking body. Find some fucking way, man. Take some fucking vitamins, even if it's just multivitamins and fish oil. Even if it's just that, that will make a fucking difference.
Yeah.
And so many people don't, man. So many people just ride it out, and they just hope it all's going to fucking stay together.
I switched my 5-HTP to Chris's brand, which is called Roll On or Roll Over. I can't remember which one it is. It's the blue bottle.
Yeah.
And it's great, too. It's 175 milligrams, I think it was.
Do you feel a difference after taking 5-HTP?
I've been taking it for over a month, and that and the resveratrol, I think, are two of the best things I take. I mean, I take fish oil in a multivitamin every day, but I think those two are the things that I've noticed the biggest from.
How much do you think cigarettes fuck with you?
Oh, a lot. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it bother you, though, that you're doing that, that you're poisoning yourself with cigarettes? Because I've seen you before, dude. There's times that I've seen you when you're like smoking a lot where you take on, like, you have a gray quality to your face. It's almost like, I'm serious, man. Yeah. And when you quit,
you know what that gray, you know what that is I have a gray beard.
No,
and if I shave, it's gray for the first 3 days.
No, man, I mean like your eyes, like around your eyes, like there's something about smoking, something about a lot of that cigarette smoke in your system where like your whole system looks like, you know, it looks like your whole system is being poisoned slowly.
Well, it is.
Why don't you quit, crazy bitch?
I will.
You won't.
No.
What makes you say you're going to quit?
Wait for the first stroke.
The best part, is that what's going to do it? Then you're going to go vegan?
Follow my grandfather.
Go completely your grandfather had a stroke?
Yeah, from smoking.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. Living smart.
Yeah. It was like 65.
So. Oh, so you feel like you've got a few years. Yeah, okay. Well, isn't there like a point of no return, like where you've done so much damage that you can never heal yourself up?
No, I mean, well, to a point, if you get cancer, obviously. But, I mean, there's a chart. I think like after a year, you're pretty much back to normal. Your lung capacity and all that stuff. There's actually a thing where like if you quit the first week, the first day,
What keeps you from quitting? I mean, you've taken those nicotine patches. Can't you just jam those?
Yeah, I mean, it's just doing it. I mean, seriously, smoking. See, I wish you could tell the addiction.
I wish I could too, because Marin's complaining about it all the time. He's always on his Twitter talking about putting nicotine patches on shit.
It's always going to be there. Like that voice in the back of your head, even if you quit, is still there. Like,
Joey's in denial.
Yeah,
Joey likes to pretend he's not smoking.
Yeah,
you know me, dog. I don't need that shit. Meanwhile, every time before a show, he's bumming cigarettes off you, right?
Yeah, I always have to buy 2 packs every time I'm hanging out with him.
Helium gave me some cigars. Helium's the shit. I fucking love it there.
Yeah,
2 Heliums we did this month, Portland and Philly. Both of them were fucking awesome. For those folks that are interested in the Massey Hall in Toronto show, the only tickets that are left are like single tickets, but. You know, man, if you want to go,
sit in separate seats.
Yeah, sit in separate seats or, you know, get people to move or something. Who the fuck knows, man? Just go and have fun. Mm-hmm. It's going to be chaos. And I'm doing it with Sam Tripoli. But other than that, it's sold out. And for the June 11th, I think it's, what is the date?
By the way, Sam Tripoli got a faux hawk going on now.
Really?
Yeah, he shaved his head.
Silly bastard. Sam Tripoli's awesome. And he'll be opening for me in... I said June.
But. He's so excited about it, too. He's like, I'll never play a bigger show than this ever. You know, he's going crazy. And by the way, San Francisco is May 12th through the May 14th, and that's at Cobb's Comedy Club.
Yeah, June 10th is the Vancouver date, and April 29th is the Toronto date. And April 29th, like I said, there's only a few tickets left. And then the other thing is Cobb's in San Francisco, yeah, it's already selling very fast. 12th through the 14th.
Is that a full death squad? Who's going there?
Yeah, probably. Whoever's around, you know, if Joey and Ari can do it, you know how we do it. It's like Ari's getting a bunch of headline gigs now, which is very nice. Yeah, Ari's headlining all over the place. He's doing comedy competitions. He's doing comedy festivals. He just got back from Atlanta, and he goes, I realized something. I was like, why does this feel so weird? And then someone said, because you're the most famous comic here. He's like, oh, I'm not comfortable with that. And I go, you're not comfortable with that because that's responsibility. You feel like responsible for like the young pucks, you know, like, is that what it feels like? He's like, yeah, that is what it is. I go, you shy away from every responsibility possible.
Right.
You know, even being like the most famous comedian, like, oh, don't look to me. I don't know nothing. I'm getting out of here. And he just runs away.
That dude should be so much bigger. I mean, I was talking to Mary Carey when we had her on the podcast, and she was talking about how she saw you and Ari, and she's just like, what's that guy's name? Ari Shaffir. He was so fucking hilarious. I'm like, wow, you knew his name offhand.
Well, we talked to her for like 5 hours on the plane too. But yeah, that she did remember his name. Yeah, I mean, look, it's tough these days for a comic to get notoriety just for their stand-up. You know, you have to get on something where people see you. There's just so much entertainment value. You know, you have to have a Comedy Central special. You have to have something. And Ari is at a bit of a disadvantage, just like Joey is, in that they're both ruthlessly dirty, you know, which is really hilarious, but it's hard to clean that shit up for, you know, a 7-minute spot at Live at Gotham or something like that, you know. It was always hard for me, too, when I first started out to clean it up for like a 10-minute set or a 7-minute set. 7-minute sets are hard in the first place because it's like just getting a joke out. It's like, fuck, you know, when you want to do a set, you want to open up, get their respect, get some laughs, and then slowly settle into your view of things. But you can't do that in 10 minutes, man. In 10 minutes, you got to slam them with some shit and then just get the fuck out of there. And, you know, that's something that Ari hasn't done yet. He hasn't really knocked one out of the park and then got a half an hour Comedy Central special and then got an hour Comedy Central special. And he doesn't do enough updating on his website either. I've had a website since 1998 and there's thousands of blog entries, you know, I mean, and I'm a busy guy. You got to write things. You got to give people things like Twitter. Look, I write a lot of shit on Twitter. It's like, hey, the podcast is about to start, or hey, you know, I'm about to do this gig, or hey, you know, come see me here. But a lot of the rest of it is just me writing things that I think are funny and interesting, or some link that somebody sent me that's interesting. I'm retweeting it, and I want it entertaining. You know, I want to make sure it's entertaining, and because it's a part of that whole system of promoting yourself, of getting yourself out there, or being able to work. And Ari hasn't really embraced that. You know, he embraced the Twitter bit a little bit. He writes funny tweets every now and then, but he needs to be like real proactive, like his website. It's not like he's got a wife and kids and a job and an excuse to not be doing all this stuff, you know? But at least he's doing his podcast on your Death Squad network. Mm-hmm. And it's the Skeptic Tank, if you're looking for it. That's what Ari calls it. It's really good. And I've been on it. Mayhem Miller's been on it. Was Steve-O on his?
No, that was on the Naughty Show. But yeah, Mayhem, they're under Death Squads. Just go on iTunes and subscribe to Death Squad. It has Ari's, it has Sam Tripoli's podcast, Tom Segura, who was on yesterday. They're all grouped into one podcast.
Yeah, and think about that, man. You would have never thought that you'd be doing something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how crazy is that?
You know what's weird is the whole thing is that when I was in middle school, you had to, or something like that, high school, freshman in high school, you had a shadow of the day job where you picked what you wanted to be when you grew up and you shadowed them for a day.
Right.
I shadowed a radio station because I wanted to be a radio DJ, and I shadowed the morning zoo, WNCI 97.9. It was the day Buster Douglas won, and they had Buster Douglas on the radio station. I think I've talked about this before, but
yeah, a long time ago.
So, but it was crazy because we actually,
when Buster Douglas knocked out Tyson.
Yeah. We were actually in Columbus, Ohio, like when we did your DVD special, and we were on that radio show, and the guy was still working as a DJ. And I was like, you know what? You were the guy that, when I was a kid, that I hung out with this guy all day. He took me to breakfast, took me to lunch, and now look at this. It's like I'm an adult, and you're still here. That's weird.
I'm an adult, you're still here. That's weird. Yeah, no, it's interesting what podcasting has become. Mm-hmm. You know, Ariel Helwani and I did his podcast yesterday, and I did it through Skype, which is pretty badass. Mm-hmm. I did the video portion of it through Skype, and I just used the microphone and listened through the headsets, and I'm like, this is crazy. And we're doing it in real time, and it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it sounded really crystal clear. Sounded great, yeah. Cool. You know, you can, it's a different world, man. We live in a different world, and we got lucky. We snuck in right on the ground floor, you know, totally never expected that. I remember all these other people were doing podcasts at the time because I did Adam Carolla's podcast way before I even moved to Colorado. You know, I had done it, you know, and I still hadn't done my own.
Well, it's podcasts in general. It's weird how they used to be popular like 4 years ago, like when they first came out and iPods just first came out and they were or whatever. It was huge for,
Who were the huge ones back then?
I remember like Kevin Rose and all those guys from Tech TV had
Kevin
one.
Kevin Rose, is he the guy that started Dig?
Yeah.
Same guy?
Same guy, Kevin Rose, yeah.
Crazy bastard. Yeah. Follow him. He's got some ideas.
Well, now he's not with Dig anymore, and everyone's pissed because he pretty much Dig's supposedly gone to shit since he left, and everyone's mad at him, I guess. Well, that's what I've heard.
Oh, Kevin.
I haven't been following
him. I like Dig still. I use Dig all the time.
I like Dig, yeah.
Dig.com, if you've never been, is an excellent portal for interesting stories.
Yeah.
There's always, like, I will scroll through the first 4 or 5 pages, and... every time I do it, you know, there's always something interesting that pops up. That's where I got that Dilbert story. And, you know, there's always Charlie Sheen asking for custody of his twins.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the fucking perfect thing to happen right now.
That's exactly.
At the end of the podcast, for this goddamn phone to ring because I never turn it off.
Call from Malibu, PA.
Malibu.
Malibu, please.
Malibu, California. All right. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for that.
Well, that's
a sort of an inside joke on this podcast that I'm a retard and I never turn my fucking phone off. The real problem is I'm always usually on the phone right up until the time we start, and then there's a bunch of them and they're cordless, you know, so they're all floating around. I never know where the fuck they are, and I usually just pull the plug out of the wall. I did it yesterday. I actually plugged it back in right before the show today because I had to make a call. You don't give a fuck, and I wouldn't either. The point is, we've done this for 100 episodes now. Give me some knuckles. We've had a good time. Red Band and I have, we've more than surpassed our expectations. I never had any going into it. I don't think you did either.
No, never thought it would be like this. I thought this was actually going to last a month. I thought like you'd get sick of it in a month. And that's the craziest thing about that you still, you still do it. You know, I thought for sure.
I'm pretty good at doing things once I get started. I'm pretty good at sticking to them, you know, but... It's when I realized it was crazy, when I realized that weird things was happening, was when I asked the crowd in Boston. I did the Wilbur Theater, place was packed, sold out. And I go, how many? And Eddie Bravo was there. And I yelled out to Eddie because I had my 10th Planet Jiu Jitsu shirt on. And I was like, 10th Planet in the house. And then I yelled out, how many guys listen to the podcast? And they went fucking crazy. It was like 90% of the crowd. And I was like, whoa, really? Mm-hmm. Really? And then I realized, and I'm like, somewhere along the line, like, maybe that's why these crowds have been cooler lately. Like, over the last, like, 6 months, the crowds have gotten noticeably cooler. And they were always cool. They were always cool. There was always a huge percentage of cool people. But there was always people that didn't know what I was up to. And they were just, you know, something to do.
Because of Fear Factor or UFC or whatever.
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy wasn't in town, so they went to see me. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, they don't know what they're doing. They're just wandering in there.
Right.
But now it's completely changed. Like in Philly, the whole crowd, it's all podcast fans. Because they find out about the show long before everybody else. That show was sold out a month before we were ever there. You know, I mean, That's never happened to me before. The best case scenario was like the last time I was in Philly, which was like a year ago. We sold it all out just before I got there. But this was sold out like way before that. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's
and you added an extra show. You did more shows.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. God damn it. Who is this again? Same thing. Hang up on them. I don't give a fuck about them. That's how I roll. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at that note, I apologize for the phone. This won't happen after episode 100. I'm gonna have that shit straightened out. I'm going to fix it. We will be back next week. As we said, Adam Carolla is on Tuesday, and I think we're probably going to do one either Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know who.
Duncan Trussell, right?
Duncan Trussell's coming on next week, too, yeah. And Joey wants to come on next week, too.
We should have Duncan and Joey. We haven't had those combo together for a while.
That's a good combo. That's a good combo. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an awesome 100 episodes. We have enjoyed the fuck out of it. We thank you very much, everybody that enjoyed it. We're so happy that you did, and I appreciate all the Twitters. I appreciate all the Facebook messages. I appreciate everything. Thank you very, very much. You guys are the coolest motherfuckers on the planet. Thank you to the Fleshlight for sponsoring the podcast. If you go to joerogan.net, there's a Fleshlight link on the right-hand side. If you click it and enter in the code name Rogan, you would get 15% off the number one sex toy for men, and you can shoot loads, and it feels awesome. All right, that's it, folks. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon. Love you, bitches.
See you guys.